You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 111. We have special guest Cousin Dan.
Cousin Dan. Say hi, Cousin Dan.
Hey, everybody.
Cousin Dan, how old are you?
I am 31 years old.
31. And you are John's cousin.
Yes.
John, explain that relationship, please.
Actually, he's my wife's mom's sister's son.
Wife's mom's sister's
son.
Son.
Right.
All right. All right. I think I got that.
Come on. Get with the program, Scott.
Wife's mom's sister's son. Okay, not your wife's sister. Your wife's mom's sister's son.
Aunt's son.
Right on. All right.
Aunt.
So, your cousins by marriage.
Right.
Correct.
All right, so.
So we could marry and mate.
What did you think of John when you first met him?
Awesome? No, that's not the right word. Dick, I think it's more. No,
Dick? Where did you first meet him? Was it at the wedding or did you meet him before that?
It was at the rehearsal dinner, I believe. Rehearsal dinner for that wedding. And met him there and shook his hand. A little sweaty, but still good.
For what wedding?
Your wedding.
For your wedding, man.
You didn't meet me there, did you?
At the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, rehearsal dinner. I believe it was.
So you've known him roughly 12 years?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
12 years and...
Yeah.
I was at the wedding. Do you remember meeting me?
Yes.
Of course. Who wouldn't?
The first time I thought I met you before.
I'm sure I had.
Skinny little kid with the Cubs hat on, worshiping Beth's brother, Tom.
My favorite cousin, man.
And then.
Wait a minute. Beth's brother, Tom? Which one is that?
Not the gay one.
Oh, okay. The other one. So you're.
The not so gay one.
I don't think have I met him?
Yeah, I'm sure you have. He's an atheist.
Out of sight.
He's a scientist. He's the guy that is published. He had an experiment that went up in the space shuttle.
Spaceship, that's right.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. How come we don't have him on the show?
He'd be on, I'm sure. I'm not sure if he's allowed to come out this late, though.
Oh, speaking of the show, do you listen, Dan? Have you ever listened to the show?
Not once, no.
No, never.
Never.
Not even a clip. John never played you even a clip
he
of the show?
He mentioned it, and then I totally forgot about it, and then got lazy and said forget it.
Do you have a computer?
What's that?
He's an IT guy.
Is that with the keys and the monitor?
Yeah, right on.
I've seen those before.
Not only the computer, but you got to have the internets, too. If you don't have the internets, it's not going to work.
I think he's got it.
All right. That's
cool.
He's got
the internets.
All right. So we're going to introduce you to our audience. Let me ask you a couple of questions. The W. What do you think of the W?
He's not probably the worst president we've ever had, but it's right there.
I find that offensive that you think he's not the worst president. Who, if it's not the W, who's worse?
Calvin Coolidge, by far.
Calvin Coolidge. And why would that be?
Probably the rape of America. No, you know what? I don't know. He's got to be the worst president of my generation. That I know of. But who knows when it goes that far back? Who knows?
Yeah. There's only 43 presidents.
Abe Lincoln could have been the worst guy of all times. We don't know that.
Abe Lincoln was the worst guy of all times?
Could have been.
He could have been.
But we don't know. It's not written down anywhere.
It isn't. And there's no sound clips of Abe Lincoln.
Exactly.
Right. Saying mixed messages. And there's an old saying in Tennessee. Maybe it's Texas. They got it too.
Yeah.
Fool me once.
Right.
Won't get fooled again.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
All right. The other question we have for you, as far as religion or spirituality, where do you stand?
Do you suck dicks?
I'm going to answer Scott's question, not that last part.
Oh.
No, I would consider myself a Christian, but I'm not an active member in any church. Is that big enough?
It's big enough for me.
All right.
So your belief system is that by accepting Jesus as your Savior, you have a free ticket to heaven.
No, it's that I believe in a God, some God out there, some higher power, and that's about it.
Did that God have a son named Jesus?
I'm sure there's a Jesus out there somewhere, sure.
Was it the Son of God?
Ah, it could have been. Why not?
Okay.
Let's live a little. Sure.
All right, there you have
Tent-anus.
It. John, do you have any questions for your cousin?
No, I. Why would I have any questions? Oh, I have a little story, though.
Oh,
once I went to visit him in Florida, me and the wife.
Where in Florida?
Where the hell did you used to live?
You need a passport to go
Clearwater,
there, right? Because that's not like America.
Yeah, not anymore.
This is Fort Myers, Florida.
Yeah. And, oh, John, what's up, man? And he says, check out my new car. And we go in the garage, and he's got this Chevette or something.
It was a Chevy Cavalier.
Chevy Cavalier.
89 Chevy Cavalier.
Chevy Cavalier. And he's got the heavy metal cranking. We get in there, check out my stereo, and Metallica. Now, you got to know his dad, because his dad is a very proper Welsh Englishman.
Good, yeah, good grammar.
Yeah.
Straight back.
He comes out. Yeah, very straight back, Daniel. And he comes out and tells Dan to turn it down. And Dan just kind of waves him off. He goes, ah, he's old.
He's old.
And that was my introduction to the youth, the angry youth of Cousin Dan.
Oh, I missed that card.
But then he decides to move from sunny Florida. Or no, you went to...
I went to the University of Florida in Gainesville, and after graduating there in 99, came up to Chicago, lived with my aunt for a couple months, and then moved on out. I've been there ever since.
Lives in the big city.
Big city of Chicago.
Now he's living with me.
Now I'm living with him. He's, now I'm presently homeless and mooching off friend after family after friend after family, alternating.
Yeah.
That's great.
Who hasn't done that? I've done that.
Have you?
Sure.
You've mooched off of friends.
Mooched? Yes, I've mooched off of many. One more question for Dan.
Sure.
Are there any circumstances that you would fuck a corpse?
Is it a lady or a dude?
It could be under any circumstances.
Is it freshly dead?
Could be freshly dead.
Like 2 seconds ago.
And it's 2 seconds ago, Cindy Angelina Crawford. Jolie, Cindy Ooh. Crawford. You'd hit it.
I'd play, what did Vince Vaughn say? Just the tip.
Just the tip?
Just the tip. Play a little game called Just the
just
Tip.
Just the tip. Okay, so your criteria
Wait,
is
I got some audio
Cindy
on that.
Crawford. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Cindy Crawford, still warm before rigor mortis.
Before it sets in?
Yeah.
Just the tip.
Okay.
Just the tip.
You got some audio there?
I got some audio All of right. Dan actually participating in that.
Okay. All right.
Sounds like you pushed it too far, and the rigor mortis set and snapped it right off.
All right, well, let's move on. I had my doctor's appointment, John.
Oh, yeah.
You'll
Tell
be
us
glad
about the
to
moon.
Know I have a clean bill of health. Clean
Excellent.
Bill of health. Even my cholesterol is right where it should be. One of the biggest differences, though, I used to have an Indian doctor, a woman. Now, you're 31, but when you hit 40, you got to go in for the old prostate.
Prostate check.
Right on. So yeah. My old Indian doctor, well, she wasn't old, but my ex-Indian doctor.
Previous.
Just very, she had me get in the fetal
There's
position.
An ugly divorce.
On the table. Fetal. Did I say
fetal?
Yeah. And very slender fingers. It was a medical procedure that occurred.
Yeah.
Right? So I got this new doctor now. The guy's bigger than I am. His hands are big, like he played football, and he got like on the line.
Like sausage.
And he got his hands all cracked up between helmets
and
shit.
Yeah, and he's got arthritis and those big, giant knuckles.
So he, here's the interesting thing, though. He gave me the full physical examination, right?
Yeah.
And then he said, okay, we're done. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, you're 40? You're over 40? I thought you were 33.
Nice.
Oh, that's
That
cool.
was after
he was hitting on you.
My physical examination.
Yeah, okay. No.
So, I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to grease me up.
Yeah, that's right. He's trying to grease you. Ooh.
Well, over 40, you know what that means. Yeah, yeah. All right. Why don't you just stand here? Just lean over on the table.
Well, I shove my cock up your ass.
This will only take it. So, you know, I see him put the glove on. in the Lubeck. And he's behind me. He's like, okay, I'm going to 3, 2, 1. You're going to feel a little pressure. 3, 2. The big difference.
He did the finger with the Super Bowl ring on.
Yeah. The big difference is with Dr. Shaw, it was like a medical procedure. With this guy, I had to go. It was like I had to take a shower afterwards. You know, I felt violated. But clean bill of health there. But like your doctor, or no? Maybe I don't know. I can't remember if your doctor let you wipe or not.
Yeah.
He didn't let me wipe.
Oh, that's just, he loved it, he man. Said, he loved it.
Put your clothes back on. I'll be back in a minute. I'm putting my clothes, and I'm looking around for shit to wipe off with. But I have to say that he was very neat. I mean, there was no real excess lube to worry about.
Because he's used to it. It's something he's very familiar with.
Yes, very familiar with.
He should have used his lab coat. Just grabbed that and wiped your ass with it.
So I got dressed and took off, and I went home and showered.
Oh, that's isn't that brutal, though?
Yikes. It was brutal.
I had that, too, when I had a I went to Vegas and lost, like, $400. I think I told this story before. And
couldn't pay him, so they brought you in the back room?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, he said...
the fuck you in for, bitch? Start sucking.
No, he said... I told the wife, I go, man, I got to go to the emergency room. The pain in my stomach is brutal. And I was having like an ulcer attack. So they bring me into the emergency room, and the guy tells me to bend over. And he looks like he's been out on an all-nighter, man. He's fucking 30 bags under each eye. I'm thinking, bend over for what? He says, we need to take a stool sample. I said, well, I'll bring you one. He said, no, we need to do it right now. And I've had diarrhea like all for 2 days. Oh. And he shoves his finger in there and he goes, oh, didn't get anything. Got to go a little deeper.
What did they need that for?
Because they wanted to see what was wrong with my stomach, if I was having like a cancer or something. So he drove it all the way. I could feel him touch my sternum and my diaphragm. And he pulls it out, and he gets a little, and then he etches it on the paper, and they look at it or whatever. And okay. And then I leave, and I'm, like, clutching against my chest, my papers. And my wife's like, you okay? What's the matter? Don't touch me.
Well, I don't know how doctors do it. Today I was out mucking the yard. You know, I got the big dog. He takes the big shits, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
so I get out there with my plastic Dominix bags from the grocery store.
Yeah.
So I'm picking. There's like 10 of them. It's been a while since I've picked up. So I'm just pulling bags out of my pocket, picking them up. About the third bag, I pull it out. I go to pick up this big juicy one, right? It's got a hole in the bag. So before you know it. I got shit all over my fingers.
Yeah.
And I when you break the seal, you know,
it's brutal.
You get that, I'm like, whoa,
that
what
pungent.
Is that odor? And I pick my hand up and there's shit all over it.
Oh, in your
and
nail.
Like,
was it a cold one or a Cleveland steamer?
It was chilly, but I broke the seal.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
it gets
brutal.
Under your nails and shit.
Oh.
And,
Later on, you're eating Cheetos.
How do doctors do it? I can't even muck a yard without.
The worst is like walking through your house and stepping in a cold one in your bare feet. And it goes right through your toes.
Oh, I've never done that.
I had a steamer, though. One time I took a shower, get out of the shower, go to step in the hall, and I step right in a fresh pile. That old dog Demi I had, remember her?
Yeah, Demi. Yeah.
All right, Sean, I want to talk about some podcasts, some other podcasts.
No doubt, Scott.
First up, I brought a clip in from this. This is the Mediocre Show, John. I called in to the Mediocre Show. They
you
do
did.
A live streaming show now, and I That's asked exciting. A very important question. Now, this clip goes on for about 6 minutes. They kept me on the line for 6 minutes, but they would talk about other things. You know, like I'd ask them a question, they'd answer, and then they'd talk about other things. Then they eventually hung up on me. But
that's nice.
So just play the first part of the clip and a very important piece of information.
What do you mean, first
here.
Part?
Just go ahead and play the clip, and I'll tell you when you can cut it off.
And then I got to start playing again?
No, then you don't have to play any more of it.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go.
Hi.
Hello.
Scott.
Hey, it's Scott from Chicago.
Scott from Chicago.
What's right up, on. I just got a couple of questions for you guys.
Sure, hit it.
I don't know if anybody's asked this before, but is Taylor coming back?
We do have a Taylor update later in the show, but it doesn't look like he's coming back.
Okay. Well, that makes me... I'm happy about that. Because I'm thinking Matt.
This is...
I'm all about...
Keep in mind, Matt, this is Scott from Total Talk Nonsense.
What up, homie?
Hey, I'm calling as a fan. I am calling as a fan of the Mediocre Nation.
Oh, show. See how that is?
I am the nation.
Oh, look at you.
That wrong.
Let me ask you a question. You're in Chicago. In Chicago, yeah. They have pornography.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you were to go from Chicago into Canada, they would allow you to bring the film Super Shots, Yummy Asians?
I'm not sure about that one.
But, oh, they would.
I have traveled to Canada before, and yeah. I brought Marked for Anal, and I got through.
Wow.
Really? Now, wait, Matt, is this, hold on, is this list things you can import to Canada?
Marked for Anal, you marked liar.
For anal. Yeah, of course I'm lying. I don't know what
the hell's
going
on. We have some porn here, Dan, if you ever need any.
Excellent.
We'll get you a key. Garbage you can come it. Out over here. Scott Garbage picked Mark for Anal. It's out of sight.
So I'm so jazzed about...
you're jizzed, all right.
Calling the Mediocre Show, the great Mediocre Show with Eric Tomorrow and Matt, who replaced Taylor. Taylor is not coming back.
No.
And it kind of threw me off because I was waiting for them to say, well, yeah, Taylor, you know, he's welcome back. And then I had my second question, which was going to be, how is that going to work? You know,
yeah,
he's just going to boot Matt on the goddamn street.
Yeah,
but I am digging the Mediocre Show with Matt. It's definitely moved in front of the Smodcast for me. It's one of the ones I look forward to now.
Smodcast, terrible.
And yeah, so the call went on for another 6 minutes, and I had to keep just interrupting them to ask questions. And the phone, you're listening when you're on the phone, you hear the show on hold. But then once they start talking and once you start talking, it's almost impossible to carry on a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because your voice is echoing back and then their stream starts to break up into bits.
Really?
Yeah, it's really...
With Skype?
I don't know how they do it. I'm not sure how they do it.
Ours doesn't do that.
I'm not sure what they're using, but it was... and I called from a landline and it was damn near impossible to carry on a conversation.
That sounds like a cell phone.
Was there a delay?
No, I don't think there was a delay. I'm wondering if I kept one of the cans on to listen to their stream, if that would have helped.
Right.
But I don't know.
Because it was live, right?
Yeah, it is live. They do a live show on Wednesday nights that you can call into. And it's pretty fucking kick-ass, man. Kick-ass.
Wow. Hey, I don't know what happened here. I got some voicemails.
Just now?
Errol Wilf. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me finish up. I got two more podcasts I want to talk about. Spike and Rachel came out with their 50th episode. It is a audio and video cast, John.
Ah.
So you got to check that out. Go to Spike and Rachel's homepage, and the video is available on their homepage. And it's really fucking cool, man. Spike spent a lot of time. He's got a...
Spider Rico.
He's got some sort of a flat panel behind him.
Yeah.
And he's got three cameras, and while he's podcasting, he's moving the camera angle. So there's one that's both Spike and Rachel. There's one that's just Spike and one that's just Rachel. I haven't had an opportunity to see the whole thing yet, so I'm excited about taking some time out and watching the Spike and Rachel broadcasting video.
So excited.
I am excited, and I want to steal that idea, John. When we get back into your home studio and we get back into the tradition of jamming, live jams.
Yeah.
I think for the live jam, we should have a video on you, video on me. We do the live jam and we just release the jam as a video. So people not like for instance, will play bass and drums, and then people can download it and add guitar if they want to.
Right.
Nice. Or add vocals or whatever and participate in a Total Talk Nonsense.
Participate.
We can start that. I'm psyched.
I'm
psyched about that, John. Also, the Mediocre Show talks about Vomitus Prime. So these guys are out of the Quad Cities. Isn't that where the Nobodies comes from? Quad Cities?
Possibly.
In that area?
In that area.
So I downloaded the latest, not the latest one. I think they just came out with one today, but I downloaded the one before. And I got to listen to another one because nothing happened. Didn't click. I didn't click with any of the personalities.
I think I sharded.
I didn't learn anything. Well, I take that back. I did learn something. But what appeals to me, Dan,
yes.
about podcasts is I need to relate to the hosts or I need to get an education. And if I can do both, that is the podcast for me. You know what I'm saying, John?
And get an education.
Right on. So I did learn something from listening to Vomitus Prime.
Yeah.
And I need to listen again because I didn't...
You're not sure if you really learned it.
No, I'm sure I learned it, but that there's two guys and a girl. The guys, I think they're in their late 20s, maybe early 30s. But the one thing I did learn, and maybe you already know this. I didn't know this. Let me ask you this question. Do you know what a dry docker is? A dry docker.
Yeah, that's somebody who fucks without lube.
No. Okay, now have you, I know, John, you've heard of the upper decker.
Yeah, the upper deck.
You know what the upper decker is?
I've never heard of that.
Oh,
John, explain upper decker to your cousin, Dan, here.
Apparently not.
The upper deck is when you you go to a party or something and you shit in the person's toilet tank, rather than the actual toilet.
Nice.
So when they flush, it keeps leaving a brown swirl.
All right, I'm going to tell you what a dry docker is. So you do the same thing as the upper deck, but you turn the water off to the tank.
Oh, that's and then it smells.
That's a dry docker.
Oh, nice.
I never knew that.
And then you're like, what the fuck? What's that smell? Oh, that's out of sight.
Right on.
I told you the one about the cellophane, right?
Mm-mm.
The cellophane is the best, especially at a chick's apartment.
Oh, where you cover the toilet?
You cover the toilet bowl, not the seat.
Yeah, the bowl.
Just the bowl with saran wrap or cellophane.
Uh-huh.
And that way when the chick sits down to take a leak, it leaks all over the place, all over her legs, and it starts spilling over because...
And you've done that before?
I have not, but I have been at a party where someone has.
I'll try that out this week or next week. About that.
Not in my house.
Oh, well, watch and learn, man.
All right, that's all I had for podcasts. So The Great Mediocre Show, Spike and Rachel, and Vomitus Prime.
Nice.
I was going to recommend Vomitus Prime to somebody. Who was I going to recommend that to?
To me?
No. Well, yeah, you check it out. See if you like it. But somebody else, and I can't remember. Oh, well. You said you got some voicemails there, John, before we get into emails?
I don't know. I haven't listened to these. I just saw them.
How many are there?
One's 14 seconds, one's 19, one's 17. They're all from Errol Wilf.
All from Errol Wilf?
So it's here. This is potluck, man. It could just be hang-ups.
It could be.
All right.
All right.
Hello. What are you guys on, man? All right. Errol Wilf. Just trying to get through. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
I don't think we've ever heard Errol Wilf's voice.
No, I have. I've talked to him. Wait a minute.
So he's trying to get through tonight.
No, this is the 13th.
Oh, the 13th. What day is that? 13th.
I don't know.
Tuesday.
Hmm.
Something. Yeah. So here it is. Here's number two.
Oh, yeah, I forgot one more thing.
Yeah, we should really screen these.
All right, here's the next one.
Hey, guys, this is Errol Wilf again. Sorry to keep bugging you, but... left a message before, and I think I tried playing guitar in there, and it didn't pick it up.
Oh, that was Errol Wilf on guitar.
Oops.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you guys later, just so you know what the hell that was. Bye.
All right, so three calls from Arrowwolf. Unfortunately, I didn't have my PC on. I'm still out of sorts since the basement is in repair.
Well, you talked to me about next Sunday being back in the home studio. Is that still the target date?
Yes, it is. All I need to do is just set up the desk.
Right on.
It's all laying there up against the wall.
Well, not only that, but the drums and the bass, so we can jam, man.
The bass. Jam. Rick has my bass.
I'll bring my bass.
And, yeah, we should be all set next week.
No doubt. So then we can record something, release it, and then Arrowwolf can download it, put guitar on it, send it back. How about that?
Right. That sounds good.
Out of sight.
That sounds good.
John, out of sight.
It sounds out of fucking sight, Scott.
God damn it. I didn't write this down. One thing I wanted to mention is Matt, I asked him, because he always talks about being on tour. Tour dates.
Tour.
Matt was a drummer in a punk band. And God damn it. I can't remember the name of the band.
Nice going, man.
It's on their show. So if you check out their show, you'll hear it. Room 13 Records. And the name of the band is... I can't remember.
The bands I can't remember?
No, I can't remember the name. God damn it. I'm sorry about that, Matt. And I actually wanted to download some shit because I found their MySpace page.
Yeah.
And bring some in because one of the songs I listened to was I was kind of digging and I thought you would dig it. And I forgot to do that. Maybe next week, John. Maybe next week.
You know me, man. I like the syncopated shit.
Fucking A. God, that pisses me off. You know, I'm running around here with a chicken with my head cut off because I can't find Shit or Shinola. And then I forget the Matt song. God damn it.
Anus.
All right, John. Turning to email.
Anus.
Email.
Email, our first email. I think I got this one a while ago, and just reviewing some emails, I forgot to mention it, and I thought I'd bring it in. MedicineGivers.com, John. MedicineGivers.com.
MedicineGivers.com.
I've heard almost every episode. I was worried there for a while. You guys had stopped. I hope you retain your vigor in all your endeavors. Talachi. I hope I pronounced that right. That's from MedicineGivers.com. What they do is they explore one cannabis strain per episode.
Ah!
We discuss the history and origin of each strain. We describe the flavor, potency, price, and if possible, information about cultivation of each strain.
That's a podcast they do?
Yes. We hope to provide a resource for the newcomer, as well as those with a high level of understanding. As the series progresses, we will hit on topics related to healthcare, legal issues, and politics. This is a program for members of the medical marijuana community. Cool. Or just fans of marijuana, John, I would think.
It's out of sight.
Either way.
So I wanted to give MedicineGivers.com.
I have a marijuana story from the Normal website.
The Normal website?
Normal, yeah.
NormalWebsite.com?
Yeah, NORML.
What is that story, John?
Oh, you want to hear it?
Sure. It's a nice segue.
All right. Let me turn that off then. Nice segue. This is very unprepared. But Scott, 98 and Dan, 98% of all domestically eradicated marijuana is ditchweed, the DEA admits. From Washington, D.C., it says more than 98% of all of the marijuana plants seized by law enforcement in the United States is feral hemp, not cultivated cannabis, according to a newly released data by the Drug Enforcement Administration's Domestic Cannabis Eradication Suppression Program and the Source Book of Criminal Justice Statistics. According to the data available online at http://www.albany.edu/forward/sourcebook/PDF. Fuck that. What the hell is that?
Well, let me ask you this, John. I just have one question.
Yeah.
This, what do they call it? Feral hemp?
Feral.
Can you still get high on it?
No.
You can't. You can't get high.
223 million marijuana plants destroyed by law enforcement in 2005. Approximately 219 million were classified as ditchweed, and they don't have any detectable levels of THC.
So why aren't they cultivating that hemp then for paper products, for rope,
shirts,
and for all the good hemp stuff?
Shirts.
That, was a great part of the foundation of this country when we started,
the
John.
Gutenberg Bible.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right
no
on.
No doubt.
I don't know.
I have no idea. But if you think about it, anyways, Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre criticized the DEA program for spending millions of taxpayers' dollars to predominantly eradicate wild hemp. The irony, of course, is that industry hemp is grown legally throughout most of the Western world as a commercial crop for its fiber content, he said. Yet the U.S. government is spending taxpayers' money to target and eradicate the same agricultural commodity. So basically growing it and then just cutting it down.
That's such
and throwing
joke.
It out. And they burn it, usually. And you think about it. Let's say it's a buck for each plant they got to chop down. That's just on the low ball side. That's $219 million.
Whoa.
Fucking waste. You know it costs way more than that.
Fucking A. Fucking
anyways,
A, man.
I just thought I'd throw
hey,
that
Hey, Dan,
in
you
there.
Partake in the hemp?
Hemp, no.
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 No. Other
but,
things?
But pot.
Oh, yeah, THC. I sucked that down like I... Dr. Pepper.
Like a daily
like a
kind
Dr.
of a daily
Pepper.
Dose of that you need?
No. Not for a long time, man. Not for a long time.
Cool.
Fortunately. Nice.
All right, returning to email,
I love
John.
Pot. I love it.
I got this email
here
from
the cops.
Phil. Phil, who you used to jam with. I used to jam with John.
Oh yeah.
Bass player Phil. Hey John and Scott. Reminder tonight. Nova, Judgment Day, Intelligent Design on Trial. Ha! Should be interesting. Did you catch that? I didn't catch it.
I did not. I was trying to find a way to TiVo it. I think I might have manually recorded it.
Is there even a reason for us to watch this thing? It's the same goddamn thing over and over again.
I know.
Hey, where do you stand on there, Dan? Are you
an
evolutionary kind of guy or a intelligent design creationism kind of guy?
No, most definitely evolutionary.
Right? Most definitely.
We came out from monkeys, apes, and small little fish in the sea.
Right on.
Yes. With that, I am, yes.
Monkeys, apes, and fall little smish.
fall little smish.
Little fish. Fall little smish.
Them too.
No doubt.
All right. He also mentions, now last show we played a Pauly B clip where we were trying to understand what the great Pauly B was saying in a prepared statement.
Yeah.
And we could not come up with a conclusive identification. Although, John, you believe you have the conclusive identification of that, what he said. Now, Phil chimes in. He said, also, after the third pass, I think I caught Pauly B's statement. I think he said, you need to punch that Rick bloke. You get that, John? You need to punch that Rick bloke. And, you know, after listening to it, after Phil's email, it's very conclusive to me.
No.
Pauly B said, you need to punch that Rick bloke.
You need to punch their big bloke.
You need to punch that Rick bloke. And the great Pauly B, I'm sure, will shoot us an email.
Has he?
And send us
wow,
he exactly
must have
what
listened
he
to the show already. Why didn't he?
He doesn't listen to the show.
No?
No, I think Tony listens and then he tells him what happened. I listen progressive.
Drunk again.
Here, listen to this. Here it is.
And what's Punky ever done for them?
Is that it? No, that's not it.
This is working on.
Which one is it? Three?
No, I think it's two. I think it's two.
Two.
That was you. Beg my pardon. Now, and now that we're thousands of miles away from him, I can say, Scott, you need to punch that Rick bloke.
Yes.
You said that at the time.
Punch that Rick bloke.
He didn't listen.
Yeah.
You need to punch their big bloke.
You need to punch that Rick bloke.
We watched the video.
I'll put money on it. I'll put a Chipotle burrito on it. Come on.
You're on.
You're on, baby. Chipotle. Chipotle.
And now that we're thousands of miles away from him, I can say, Scott, you need to punch that Rick bloke.
Yeah, I just want a burrito.
You need a punch there, big bloke.
You need to punch that Rick bloke.
I think punch that big bloke or punch that Rick bloke.
There you go. only Pauly B can answer.
And now that we're thousands of miles away from him, I can say, Scott, you need to punch that Rick bloke.
Yeah, it's punch that Rick
it's
bloke.
It's big bloke.
Pauly B, please send an email. We have a Chipotle burrito. I don't want to hear this goddamn thing again.
Now that we're thousands of miles away from him, I can say, Scott, You need a punch that, Rick Blake.
All right, then.
It's Rick. It's
you
Rick.
Need a punch
it
that,
is Rick.
Bloke.
Thank
it's
you.
Rick,
thank you, Dan.
My dad's English.
But we'll wait for...
my dad's English. But he's not cockney. Like,
we'll wait for a Pauly B to submit the official quote. Now, Phil says, I listen progressively more intently and put my speakers up more loudly, and that's what I heard. Right on, Phil.
Yeah, whatever.
Chat
Phil
later.
Phil has an axe to grind with Rick. That's
loves
why.
And kisses. Who doesn't? Pauly B does, too. That's why he said it.
Yeah, right.
Right on. All right, John.
Then why did he call you a geek?
Why would you want to punch a geek? We already went over this last episode.
He says you need a punch.
No, he said, I need to punch Rick.
No.
That's what he said.
He said, I? I didn't even hear I.
No, he said, I. Scott, you need to punch Scott, that Rick
why would
bloke.
He say you need to punch him?
He
why?
Was addressing me.
Why?
How should I know?
Punch, well, you obviously know somebody at, wouldn't want to punch you.
You're just upset.
Because you're a geek.
Because you're going to have to give me a burrito, all right?
I'm going
to
give you a burrito right up your ass.
All right.
Where
moving
you like
on
it.
With emails. Now, if you have it. It's called Benny Hill something or other. It was the Way of the Bobs redneck recital submittal.
Right.
We have at least 22 emails that gave the correct response. But I'm only going to go through the top five. Only going to go through the top five.
All right.
And only the number one will win a fabulous prize, John.
How many have you sent out so far?
Zero.
That's out of sight.
But we have three winners so far, right? Phil is one of them, so I can give him. I don't have to send it. And then the two others, I'm going
to
do it this week.
You're going to give it to him, all right?
But here's the deal.
You probably set him up. Tell him, hey, this is what you need to send this
we
email.
We can't.
It says, you need to punch that big Rick bloke.
We can't do another redneck recital until I get these things mailed out. Or else I'm not going to be able to keep up. So.
You need a punch there, big bloke.
Whoo. Here's the first.
How's your headache?
It's better. It's gone. It's gone.
And I didn't give you ibuprofen, by the way. Dan, what did I say on the way here?
I'm not going to say a word.
Come on, say it.
You told me not to say anything.
No, what was it, vitamins?
No, go ahead.
It was worse than that, man.
What did you give me, man? Is it ecstasy?
You said they were hot tamales.
What is it? What'd you give me, man?
And you took them without even looking. That's what cracked me up.
I
like,
did.
Oh, my God. He actually took them.
What'd you give me, ecstasy? Because I got a Woody right now.
And that's what ecstasy gives you. No, Viagra. Mm. You're going to have a Woody for 30 hours.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Normally have one for 24 anyway.
No, I forgot to get you the ibuprofen, and we're driving over. I said to Dan, I go, oh, shit, I forgot the Advil. Oh, I got some shit in my pocket I could give him. It'll keep him up all night, but that's okay.
Are you shitting me? Yeah. Is he going to keep me up all night? You fucker. What did you give me?
It was like Vibrant and like ginseng. And
it's a migraine headache formula. It's very powerful.
But it's going to keep me up?
It's got a little caffeine in it. Let's just put
right.
it that way.
I got some work to do anyway.
Just don't call me at like 4 in the morning. Hey, fucker, I'm still awake.
All right, do you have Benny Hill, the Benny Hill clip with the Way of the Bob submission for Redneck Recital?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's hear that before I get into these emails.
This morning, and the sun was gone. Turned on some music to start my day. I lost myself in a familiar song. I closed and I slipped away.
I forgot to explain to Dan what this was all about. So,
all right,
totally understand what's going
Such a
on.
Good
what
host.
He was doing there was saying song lyrics.
Okay.
Could you guess the song?
No.
All right, so we have this contest, and people submit, they guess what the song is, and they make submissions. This one, we had like 22 emails with the correct answer. Well, not all of them.
Wow.
Had the, like, for instance, the one of the ones we got on Wednesday, November 14th at 8:08 p.m., was from Preston Buttons.
Really?
From Air Out My Shorts. He says, subject, more than a feeling, Boston, yo.
Really?
But you probably got an answer already. Fucktards, Preston Buttons. And that, he is correct, because...
Very upset.
We got the same answer from Doug Lunsford, who I think is a previous winner. We got the answer from Patrick Schmitz before the great Preston Buttons. He's Pat McGroin.
Right.
We also got the answer from Abe Rumchuck. Come on, that song is way too easy. After playing Guitar Hero for countless hours, I immediately recognized the Tier 2 song,
Boston. That's how they win.
More than a feeling, the yakety sax backing music wasn't even close to throw me off.
Wow.
From Abe Rumchuck.
The yakety sax. Don't talk back.
Right on. But our winner, John. Our winner.
The Wiener. Hold
on. The winner.
Hold on. Drum roll.
Is James Bentley.
Oh, James Bentley.
My wonderful Anglo countryman song is Boston's More Than a Feeling. And over here, redneck types are called bumpkins, pikies, or more commonly, chavs. Keep up the good work and tell that beatnik Spenny to get her finger out and put the forums back up. Bentos.
No doubt.
Much love, Bentos.
It's out of sight.
Double X.
Bentos, right.
There you have it. Our winner. So what Bentos needs to do is send me his mailing address, and I will send out a wonderful TTN prize.
Wonderful TTN prize.
Wonderful prize.
Now, what was the when do we do redneck recital?
What do you mean?
What podcast was that?
Oh, I don't know. 108?
Was it?
I have no idea.
I was just trying to pull up the audio on that to just show Dan. Exactly.
Show him? Show him?
Show it to him.
Show it to him.
Show me.
Yeah, I don't, I don't got it.
You don't got it?
I ain't got it.
All right, let's move on.
All right, let's do that.
All right, are you guys familiar with Drew Peterson? Drew Peterson?
Oh, here, I got it.
Oh, he's got it. Hold on. We're going to back up.
Redneck
I digress.
Three? Was it Redneck 3?
I digress. Yes, I believe it was.
That's how it started.
I'm feeling drunk, juiced up and sloppy. Ain't touched a drink all night. I'm feeling hungry. Can't see the reason. I just had a horse meat pie. Yeah, when you call my name, I salivate like a Pavlov dog. Uh-huh. When you lay me out, my heart starts beating like a big bass drum.
Dan, you have
that
any...
That's got to be the goddamn funniest fucking...
Do you know what song that was?
I don't want to guess, man. That's
That was Bitch by Rolling Stones.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was. You're right.
Come on, man.
I'm sorry.
Festus told me. I got the shit on that. All right, so there's this Drew Peterson guy. This is the former chief of police of Bolingbrook. Drew Peterson.
Drew.
Now, with this cock smoker, Pull cocker
smoker. Cocker smoker spaniel.
He's on his fourth wife. His fourth wife. The guy's in his 50s. His wife is in her early 20s.
Oh.
There's like a 30-year separation there. I don't know how that happens. That's how does right. that happen, John?
That's all right.
That's his fourth wife. His third wife was found mysteriously drowned in a bathtub that didn't have any water in it.
Right.
His fourth wife has been missing since October 23rd. So they exhumed the third wife to look at her body again and figure out what the hell was going on. They're still looking for the fourth wife. And so this guy, who obviously killed both these women, goes on Matt Lauer because he's going to tell his side of the story. Now, the guy's from Chicago. And I didn't, you know, there's an actor, Dennis Farina. I always thought that guy was doing like an impression.
Yeah.
But no, it's not.
No.
this guy is from the south side.
I'm going to fucking kill you with a pencil.
Of Chicago. And this is how, this is, he's given a bad name to Chicago. Let's go ahead and play the first clip.
Everybody I talk to, when I'm overseas, they want to know about the mafia.
They want to know about the mafia? Oh, well, this guy's, well, the other thing I got to say about this guy is, we talk all the time about the W being the most overwhelmed, incompetent, stupid person on the goddamn planet. I think this Drew Peterson is stupider than the W.
No way.
Let's listen to the clips and you tell me, John. So this first one, they're just going to kind of summarize what I just told you, and then they're going to ask, Matt Lauer's going to ask him a question, and we'll take it from there.
Drew Peterson is responding to questions about his wife's disappearance and his previous wife's death.
Marcella Raymond's in the newsroom with the latest. Marcella?
Good morning. Speaking on the Today Show this morning, Drew Peterson appeared calm and collected and reiterated that he had nothing to do with Stacy's disappearance or with the death of his third wife, Kathleen. In the interview, Peterson says he still believes that his wife left him and their two children to be with another man. Peterson said Stacy suffered depression and was volatile following the death of her sister.
Was it ever violent?
I don't believe it was ever violent.
Either know it was violent or not violent.
There was a few incidences where, like, Stacy and I would have verbal confrontations, and I would be in her face, and she hated being cornered. And well, one time she hit me in the head with a frozen steak, and okay.
Did you ever hit her?
Never. Never.
Ever raised a hand to her?
Never raised a hand to her.
She hit me in the head with a frozen steak.
You're on national TV. Do you think about this, what you're going to say before you go on the show?
You just killed your wife. What are you going to say? You're going to say
that you got hit in the head with a frozen steak?
You're going to say anything you can to get out of this fucking getting ass raped in Cook County for the rest of your life.
Oh, come on. And it's not incidences. It's incidents, dumbass.
Well, there incidences where, I got in her face.
I
cornered her.
What did she hit me with a frozen steak?
And then she hit me with a fucking frozen steak over by there.
I think it was one of those porterhouse.
I saw Paulie Fingers. I got to come over to fuck you in the ass.
One of those bone-in porterhouse, so it left a mark.
Yeah. Bone-in porterhouse.
Now this second.
I gave her a bone-in porterhouse later
clip,
on.
The second clip is unbelievable, John. Listen to this fucking guy.
So just real quickly touch on the fact that, as I said, it's reported that Stacy asked you for a divorce just 2 days before she disappeared. And you combine that with the fact that Kathy died while your divorce settlement was still being negotiated. Do you understand why people see a rather alarming coincidence here?
Sure. However, Stacy, I'm not trying to be funny here, but Stacy would ask me for a divorce after her sister died. On a regular basis, I'm not trying to be funny, and it was based on her menstrual cycle.
So when Stacy asked you for a divorce on October 26th, it didn't anger you? You weren't upset by it?
It was like any other moment that she had, that she was unhappy with something. She would want a divorce.
She was on her period, what I'm saying?
Yeah, what can you do about that? It's,
what's your problem?
It happens once a month. So it was like every 4 weeks I had to hear about the divorce,
Fuck. Over by
there. That is just unbelievable to me. Your wife is missing, and you're going to talk about her goddamn menstrual cycle.
She hit me with a fucking frozen steak, and then she had her period. I don't know what her problem
TV.
Is. She's got to be a bitch. I don't know what the problem. I cornered her. I got in her face with a fucking 2x4. A couple times I put a gun right to her face, and she was a little upset with me. But then she hit me with a fucking frozen steak, so
frozen
I
steak.
Thought she was on her period.
Yeah, because every 4 weeks she'd get like that, that's how women get,
They get like that.
They get like that.
All right, over by theirs.
All right, so now this third clip here, he's going to talk about a little bit about life insurance, and he's going to talk about his third wife. This is the wife. Here's what I don't understand is apparently she drowned in a bathtub, right?
Yeah.
But when they showed up, there was no water in the tub.
What?
And
no?
She had like a bludgeon wound to the back of her head. So the only thing she could have drowned in was her own blood.
Is that you in there?
So at the time, this guy's the chief of police. So who knows? Maybe he's got something on the coroner or something else.
Everything okay in there?
And they can cover this up, but it's unbelievable to me.
It's un-goddamn believable.
So go ahead and play. He's going to talk about life insurance and his third wife here.
And his third wife.
In the third clip here.
Third anything.
True or false, you ended up with $1 million payout from a life insurance policy you had on her.
After my children did. And that money is in a protected account for them when they turn older.
And what was your relationship with Kathy like? Tell me about her. What kind of a woman was she?
She came from an abusive home life. Growing up, she was abusive step-parents. At first, it was very romantic, and again, after she had children, the hormones kicked in, and again, an emotional roller coaster with her. But our relationship was always a one-upmanship relationship. We were always trying to basically outdo each other with different things. Who was smarter, who was stronger, that type of thing.
So you describe both of these women, Kathy and Stacy, as having emotional problems.
Yes, both of them.
Yeah,
wow.
So we tried to one-up each other, you know. Who was smarter?
Steak.
Yeah. You know. Who had a bigger steak? Yeah, a frozen steak.
Who's funnier, you know?
Funny how? Like a clown?
Yeah, so.
So
that,
am I here to amuse you?
I'm not going to get the insurance money. That's going to the kids when they turn older.
When
they turn older, John.
That's right, it stinks!
What a piece of shit this guy is. Now. Here's the last clip here. Matt Lauer asks
last
him.
Clip.
Matt Lauer says, hey, you pole smoker, if you do get convicted, you're looking at the death penalty. What do you think about that? Go ahead and play the clip.
You know the law, Mr. Peterson. You know that if somehow you're deemed to be involved in the death of Kathy Savio or the disappearance or perhaps even death of Stacy, you face either life in prison or the potential for the death penalty.
Correct.
Have you thought about it?
Yes. And it's a frightening thing, but my family's provided for. My kids will be okay. They're with my brother and sister-in-law and my son, and I can go in peace if that happens.
And if you can tell the people watching today one thing about you that they clearly don't know and don't understand, what would that be?
What they're seeing is not me. I've been a jokester all my life, and it's just like now they're seeing this serious person in deep trouble, and this isn't me. And me is a guy playing jokes on people and kidding around and trying to have fun with life and living.
Yeah, like when I got hit in the face with a frozen
steak. You know what he means when he's going to go peaceful, like, right?
What? Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, how could you possibly go in peace? I would be, first of all, I'd be frantic. I'd be trying to find my fucking wife if she was missing. And I can go in peace if they convict me of this crime that I didn't commit?
Yeah.
So this guy's, I don't know who his lawyers are. They should have told him, just shut the fuck up.
Shut your fucking face.
Go somewhere until the trial.
She hit me with a fucking frozen steak. She must have been on her period. I don't know.
Yeah, the menses, you know. You heard of those, Matt Lauer, the menses?
The menses. Martha Monthly.
And the other thing,
friend.
This guy was, so he's married to his third wife. He's having an affair with what turns out to be his fourth wife, who's now missing. He met her when she was 17, and he was 47,
wow.
And she was 17. You know, we talked about Lance Armstrong and Ashley Olsen and how goddamn twisted that
right,
was.
Right.
And this guy's 47, and she's 17?
Yeah.
How does that even, where do you even meet a 17-year-old?
Playground.
High schools, man. High schools.
Not only that,
high school chicks, high awesome.
Kids. Meet them and then appeal to them. How does that happen? I have no idea. And how does a 17-year-old appeal to a 47-year-old?
I know. Want some candy?
That's just wrong, John. It's wrong.
That's fucked
it's
up.
It's the opposite.
Man.
I don't get though. How's the how does the 47-year-old guy appeal to the 17-year-old? Like what?
Right.
Figure or I mean,
right.
Right. Yeah.
Unless he's he's got his own car, right?
You're like a grandfather figure. You're like a grandfather figure to me.
Yeah.
Right.
So I hope that fucker they get some solid evidence on that cocksucker.
Yeah, that's fucked up, man.
That is one big pile of shit.
What happened to wives one and two?
One is still alive. Two, I think, is still alive.
For now.
For now, yeah.
The third wife, though, before she ended up dead, called the cops like 18 times because he was beating the shit out of her.
It's like the, OJ, right?
Yeah.
The wife called 18 times, and then on the 19th, no answer.
No answer. Yeah.
That's fucked up.
That is one big pile of shit.
What do you guys want? You want to hear from Phil Jackson, or you want to get into shit or shinola?
Let's hear what Phil Jackson has to say.
All right, now, Phil Jackson, he's the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, where you can't say the N-word anymore in Los Angeles.
Why not?
Because it's against the law.
Is it really?
Why? We talked about that last week. Were you here during the podcast?
Part of it.
So he's coaching the Lakers.
Why are you so aggressive against me, man? What's your
deal? What do you mean aggressive against you?
Yeah, what is that? What's with the
animosity? Here's what pisses me off. Driving. Driving pisses me off. I get stressed out about that. The other thing that pisses me off is we talk about these things on the podcast, and you have no recollection.
I don't like...
So you ignore me.
No.
You're surfing over there. I don't know what you're doing.
I'm surfing.
Who knows what you're doing?
Here, I'm just going to hold a pen and some paper in my hand and talk. Can you serve up a couple of these sounds? Do you have them ready?
Yeah. And then interact. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Interact.
Yeah, right. I don't, after the show, right away jump in the car and study it like you do.
Study what?
Oh, every time you pull up, I hear your voice coming through your radio.
That's not true.
Oh, it's me, Scott. Oh.
That's my Mr. Microphone.
Oh, I'm listening to myself again. Oh. Oh.
That is not true.
Oh. You liar.
Cocksucker.
Lying ass.
I ain't no lying.
All right, what's this Phil Jack Stroker? Too. Fuck you.
All right, so the coach of the Lakers, they lost a game, and they're going to tell the whole story, but a reporter asks him, what was the problem? Why were you having such – why'd you get crushed by this lame-ass team? Go ahead and play the – oh, but the funny – I'm sorry. The funny thing is
– see what I have to go through,
so he makes
right.
a
– Don't play it. Don't
he
play
He makes
don't
a
play.
Statement, and then he apologizes, but his apology is funnier than the statement, if you ask me. All go right. ahead.
Basketball 101, they're getting penetration, so those guys are being left open outside?
Yeah, we call this a Brokeback Mountain game because there's so much penetration and kickouts. So, you know, it's one of those games.
Lakers coach Phil Jackson got a laugh with those comments made Tuesday, but he got a reprimand from the league on Wednesday. Brokeback Mountain, as many of you know, a movie about two cowboys that conceal their gay relationship. Jackson said he deserved the league reprimand and then said this prior to Wednesday's game against the Rockets.
My attempt to be humorous, which was using alliteration last night, was greeted with some humor by the journalists and the people that were around me covering the ball game. I'm not Jay Leno or David Letterman. I'm not a comedian, I'm a basketball coach, and you know, trying to bring levity to the situation probably doesn't work when it's pulled out in retrospect, and I want to thank ESPN for doing that and making an issue out of this, and if I've offended any Cowboys, any Texans, any horses, anybody else that would be offended by these comments, I want to apologize.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Glad he pulled it out.
Cowboys, Texans, and horses. Who he's apologizing to. They'll probably fine him for that, too.
Basketball 101, they're getting penetration, so those guys are being left open outside?
Yeah, we call this a Brokeback Mountain game because there's so much penetration and kickouts. So, you know, it was...
Maybe they do call it that, for
They
real.
Probably do.
Right.
And those guys laughed at it, and in the locker room, that's probably what they call it, right?
Probably. And what's the big goddamn deal? Who's getting their panties in a bunch over that? Who?
The gays.
The horses.
The gays.
And the Cowboys and the Texans.
And the Texans, like the W. All right, John, you ready? Are you ready
for
shit or shinola?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Now, last time, John got drubbed.
Let's get ready to play!
Shit or shinola!
All
back to you, Scott.
All right, Dad, our new contestant. What I'm going to do is read a statement. You have to tell me if it's shit or shinola. Shit being totally false, shinola being true.
All right, He's a college graduate.
Really? All right, then. First question tonight, right? Shit or shinola?
Supposedly.
Did you graduate?
That's what it says on the paper.
But... Oh, all right.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore is godmother to Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love's daughter. Shit or shinola?
That's shit, man.
Dan says total shit.
I say shit.
John says shit. Nobody is on the board. That is total shinola.
Wow.
Drew Barrymore is friends with Courtney Love, who named her godmother to her daughter with Kurt Cobain, Frances Bean Cobain.
So we get two buzzers, huh?
Frances Bean, who was born in 92, was 8 when she was the flower girl in Drew Barrymore's wedding to Tom Green. Drew's godparents are also celebrities. Her godmother is Anna Strasberg, wife of legendary drama teacher Lee Strasberg, and her godfather is Steven Spielberg.
What a teacher, Strasberger.
Nobody's on the board. Next question, shit or shinola.
Wow.
Mia Hamm is the youngest woman ever to play for the U.S. national soccer team. Shit or shinola?
That is shinola.
No, that's shit.
John says total shinola. Dan says shit, and John goes up on the board one
Damn.
Zip. That is total shinola.
For Dan.
How old is Mia Hamm?
She's like, was 18, 17?
Muriel Margaret Hamm was only 15 in 1987.
Oh, my God.
When she first played
young.
For the team, the youngest woman to do so. She attended the University of North Carolina, where she scored more goals than any college player in history. Mia is widely recognized as one of the greatest soccer players in the world. In 1999, she became the leading soccer scorer in the world, male
score whore.
Or female.
Oh, wow.
John is up.
Yeah,
my
daughter was a big fan of hers when she started playing soccer.
She retired a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, my daughter did, yeah.
Yeah, she's about that age, yeah.
All right, third question, shit or shinola. John's up, one zip. The Dead Sea Scrolls were written on hemp. The Dead Sea Scrolls were written on hemp. Shit or shinola?
That's shit.
Shinola!
That's papyrus, right?
Oh, papyrus. Could be.
This game is all tied up because that is
nice.
Total shit.
Papyrus.
The scrolls were written on leather, copper, and papyrus.
Ah, shit.
Since they're about 2,000 years old, many had turned green by the time they were discovered. A shepherd found them in 1947 in caves near the shores of the Dead Sea. They contain the earliest known handwritten version of the Hebrew Bible and are made up of 850 different documents. We have a tie score. After the third round, moving into the fourth round, shit or shinola. World War II was the first war to end the segregation of African-American soldiers. Shit or shinola. Did you get that? World War II was the first war to end segregation.
That's total shit.
Of African-American soldiers. That is total shit. And it's 2-2. It was the Korean War. Not only were soldiers segregated during World War II, but no African-American received a Medal of Honor for his service until 1997, when the great President Bill Clinton awarded one to the surviving vet and 6 to family members of World War II soldiers. That is totally
Clinton
fucked up.
Clinton was one of the best presidents ever.
Ever.
No doubt.
What is? That's all I want to know.
That's it. All right, our fifth and final round, unless it is a tie. And we have to go into sudden death overtime.
Sudden death.
Fifth round, shit or shinola. Ronald Reagan was once rejected for a movie role because the entertainment executive didn't think he had that presidential look. Shit or shinola.
Shinola.
Oh, that's shinola all the way, man.
It's gotta be.
That is total shinola.
Nice.
It's a tie game after the fifth round.
Uh-oh.
Reagan was rejected for the best man. About the race within the political party for the presidential nomination. The black and white film starring Henry Fonda.
It's because of the monkey.
And Cliff Robertson is the front runners is based on the Gore Vidal play that was released in 1964. All right, sudden death.
Sudden death, ladies and gentlemen.
Scotch tape was originally made for the car industry. Shit or shinola. Scotch tape was
that is
originally
shinola.
Made for
that's
the shit. Car shit. Industry.
Shit.
John takes this round. 4-3.
Yeah!
That is total shinola. Scotch tape was created by the 3M company, which was busy manufacturing sandpaper at the time. It was the 1920s. The automobile factory workers were having difficulty painting the two-tone cars that were all the rage. To get a clean edge between the colors, they requested a tape that would stick when needed and then peel off easily. At first, the tape had adhesive only on the edge, which factory workers found ineffective. So 3M went to work on fixing the problem, and in the meantime, auto workers dubbed the new invention Scotch Tape.
Oh. Is there anything they can't do at 3M?
John takes that round, coming off a loss.
Thank you so much.
To the great Tony Hearn. John is back on track.
I gave it up to Tony Hearn because he was a special guest.
A special guest.
From the UK.
Right on. Actually,
which I was talking to Paulie B and I said, hey man, no offense. And I didn't say anything to Tony Hearn, but I have a hard time understanding him.
What did Paulie B say?
He said, I do too. But yeah, I talk to him all the time about his diction. His diction is rather, it's from the town he's from or something.
But right
I, you
on.
Know, I mean, it's just kind of like the accent is really slangy or something.
Oh, Cockney?
It's not Cockney, though, is it? It's like proper English messed up with mumbles or something. I don't know.
You mean like the Chevy Chase face, that kind of thing? Or
I don't know. Did you find that, Scott, or no?
Hard to understand, Tony?
Yeah.
No, I can understand him.
Really?
Especially on the last couple of podcasts, you can understand Tony. You can't understand Paulie B.
It could be because I'm pretty much deaf.
It could be.
So that's probably the reason.
It's a possibility.
Because I'm very deaf. You know, people talk to me all the time. Are you listening to me? You just said so right now.
Right, right.
That's right.
Just shortly earlier.
Right on.
Yeah. When I turn older, it's going to be harder to hear, I'm sure.
All right, just a couple of miscellaneous things. We talked about, what the hell was his name? God damn it.
Say my name.
What was the name of the clown who molested kids? Klutzo?
Klutzo the kid-loving clown?
Klutzo the kid-loving clown. This is a follow-up to that story. Accused sex offender Klutzo the clown dies.
What?
Following struggle with jailers and a taser. Accused sex offender A. Paul Carlock, and again, if you remove the A-R-L, it spells cock, who performed for children as Klutzo the Clown, died this morning at St. John's Hospital following a struggle with county jailers. Officials this morning had described the death as the result of an undetermined medical problem. However, Chief Deputy Tony Sacco said this afternoon that Carlock began experiencing problems after a struggle with correction officers in which he was subdued with a taser.
And
Klutzo, the kid-loving clown, is no longer with us.
Wow.
This other miscellaneous is kind of disturbing to me, John.
Well, I
kinda
have a story about tasering.
Oh, what is your story?
I do. I have a story here about taser.
Let's hear it, man. Let's hear it.
Terror police shot a man in a coma, Scott.
A man in a coma?
Yeah, he had gone into a diabetic coma on a bus in Leeds, was shot twice with a taser gun by police, who feared he might have been a security threat.
You got to make sure. I mean,
because he didn't move?
Yeah, Nicholas Gobert has described how the incident happened in July of 2005, just a week before the fatal shooting of a Brazilian man, Jean Charles de Menezes. Mr. Galbert.
Sure.
You have that one?
No.
You hear this story? he said he was suffering severe post-traumatic stress as a result of the shooting. Mr. Galbert, who lives in Leeds, said he had now decided to speak out after the Crown Prosecution Service ruled no officers involved should be charged with any criminal offenses. The IPCC is still considering whether any disciplinary matters will be brought against the officers. Armed police were deployed, and Mr. Gobert said he was on his way to meet friends when he suffered a fit on the bus and slipped into a coma, which left him slumped on his seat, clutching his rucksack. armed police were called to the bus depot in Headingley. And when he failed to respond to their challenges, he was shot with the taser.
Jeez.
He said, as this was happening, another officer was pointing a real gun at his head. He was restrained and eventually came around in the police van. He said it was only then that the officers realized it was a medical emergency, despite him wearing a medical tag around his neck to warn of his condition. How about that?
That's unbelievable.
The police believed he looked Egyptian. I saw a picture of the guy, and he doesn't look anything like fucking blonde hair.
Even Nebraska, Swedish kid.
Yeah, right. Well, he looked like a fucking Swede.
Well, they're probably being interrogated, right? Hey, man, you look Egyptian.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Come on. That's crazy.
Don't tase me, bro.
I got some very disturbing news.
What's that?
As you know, John, I had a vasectomy.
Right.
Are you considering that?
No.
Well, after this story, you will not consider
Dude,
that.
Dude, I don't want anybody going near my balls with a knife.
I had the big vas, the vasectomy, right?
And you're more of a man than me.
So I'm reading. I get a newsletter that. Every Friday from the Straight Dope and the great Cecil Adams.
Yeah.
And the question, the first question this Friday was, what's the Straight Dope about the correlation between vasectomy and dementia? A concerned post-op patient.
That's the reason.
I never heard of this, vasectomy and dementia, but get this.
Now it all makes sense about what's wrong with
right.
you.
Right. What we're referring to here is the December 2006 study by a team from Northwestern University focusing on men with a fairly uncommon form of dementia called primary progressive
back?
Aphasia.
What?
Unlike Alzheimer's, for instance,
Alzheimer's.
PPA doesn't result in memory loss, but instead affects regions of the brain associated with language, John. Language. It typically shows up first as difficulty in thinking of the word you want, which I did last podcast.
Now that's got to be me.
But may ultimately lead to a serious across-the-board problems with written and or spoken communication. Now, we all know that I'm one of the worst verbal dyslexic patients on the planet.
You're very well-spoken,
and
I think.
Well, no, I do run into
really?
Dyslexic all the time, at least 10 times a podcast. And I think it started happening after the vasectomy.
Oh, yeah.
So now
cut your nuts and that's it.
Right. It's also more common in men than women. Women, how do with memory oh, related dementia that reverses? blah 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 blah. Okay.
Are you a Peter Pepper?
Second, the researchers themselves can only guess at what might account for a vasectomy PPA link. In order to keep the male body's autoimmune system from attacking its sperm cells, the testes are isolated from the flow of blood by something called the blood testis barrier. But in testicular surgery, this firewall is often breached, allowing contact between sperm and blood cells, John. Now, you may think, well, what's the big deal? In fact, one of the very common side effects of a vasectomy is that the patient develops antibodies to his own sperm.
Jeez.
Now, follow me here. Since other kinds of antibodies have also been known to make their way into the brain and cause real trouble... Weintraub speculates that the anti-sperm antibodies resulting from a vasectomy may be doing something similar. All right. So I developed these things to attack my own sperm, and now they're moving into my brain.
Your brain.
My brain, John. And if that's not bad enough, if that is not bad enough, a better documented side effect is sometimes known as post-vasectomy pain. My doctor never explained any of this shit to me.
Right, they just collect your money.
Unlike the normal, typical minor pain that often follows surgery, PVP can occur years after the procedure, ranging in intensity from mild to excruciating and arising from a number of conditions.
That's why they call it practicing medicine.
One is high-pressure sperm buildup.
Oh,
the surgery
God.
Doesn't halt production of sperm, just keeps it out of the ejaculate.
Oh.
Accumulated
what?
Sperm granulomas.
Granulomas.
Granulomas. What this is hard balls of tissue that form around stray sperm. Kinked tubes and et cetera may cause excruciating pain.
You know what you need to do, man?
What's that? No, no.
Just kill yourself.
Vasectomy reversal can often stop the pain. The researchers aren't entirely sure why. Frankly, you kind of wish they were. All right. So I get a vasectomy. It's attacking my brain, and I may have excruciating pain now or sometime in the near future.
Make fake foreskins.
That's just fucking great, isn't it?
It's win-win, man. It's win-win.
How are we doing on time there, John?
We are at like 1:15.
All right. Yeah, I'm not going to answer the door.
No?
We got a TTN correction, John. Last podcast, I referenced Herbert Hoover. Herbert Hoover. When discussing that the W may have stuff on the Democrats from all his wiretapping.
Yeah.
But I didn't mean to say Herbert Hoover. I meant to say J. Edgar Hoover.
Ah, right.
Right. So I apologize to any Herbert Hoover relatives or descendants that may be fans of TTN.
And
also,
Coolidge.
John, I got to see the B-movie yesterday.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
It was so goddamn uninspired.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not.
Well, Jerry Seinfeld.
Actually, Chris Rock was the highlight of the movie for me. Yeah, he had two good lines.
So maybe he should be in cartoons only.
Possibly.
Maybe
in
it's
cartoons
his
only.
Fucking face all the time.
But I cannot recommend this movie. It is, you know, my wife liked it. And she after the movie, she said, I really like that movie. What did you think?
She just said that to piss you off.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like, well, I really didn't.
I would. I'd say it.
I didn't like it. I thought it was uninspired.
Really?
Yeah. And it was creepy in some parts.
Because they're bees or?
Well, he's a bee and he gets out in the world and he meets a florist, a human. And he has like this crush on this human.
A man crush?
And he talks to her. Bees aren't supposed to talk to people, but apparently they can talk. So he has conversations with her. And she then has a crush on him. And it's just creepy.
That's freaky,
It is creepy.
I mean, it's one thing to have King Kong have a crush on a little tiny woman.
Right.
But
it's
a
like a possession, you know?
Having a crush on a bee.
Or a guy with a bicycle. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I can understand the bicycle, you know. Also... You know, I got the on-demand. Well, I actually don't have on-demand, but I get to see movies that the neighbors watch.
Yeah.
You know? I got to see Career Opportunities.
Nice.
Have you guys seen that movie?
I love that movie.
Do you love that movie?
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Tell me how it ends, because whoever was watching it decided to turn it off like an hour 20 into it. So how does it end? So he hooks up with this chick. Dermot Mulroney shows up with a unibrow to hold him up. And then what happens?
Murder, suicide.
Really?
No.
Like Romeo and Juliet?
No. I
made you look.
I haven't seen that since I think I was in middle school, which is what, 89 when it came out?
Well, the Oscar-winning Jennifer Connelly is in that movie.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The other movie I was watching on this, where I kind of peeping Tom on what other people are watching on demand, is Rain Over Me. Have you heard of this movie, John?
Wow,
Rain
no.
Over Me. This is with Adam Sandler, Don Cheadle, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Liv Tyler.
Cheadle's great.
Have you seen this movie?
I've heard about it.
I love Don Cheadle. He's the man.
Yeah.
What this movie is about is Adam Sandler lost his family in the September 11th attack on New York City.
Yes.
Runs into his old college roommate. Rekindling a friendship is one thing that appears able to help the man recover from his grief. But and I went to IMDb. This movie is rated 7.9 out of 10.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
I couldn't believe that because this is the... I like Cheadle, but this Adam Sandler just fucking... And maybe it's my coming into this movie hating fucking Adam Sandler. I don't know. I thought the guy did a horrible job.
How could you hate Adam Sandler?
He can't pull off the drama at all.
What about...
And, again, he's basically an Adam Sandler character. He's a whiny, moany asshole... That why would anybody care about this fucktard? I don't know. All he at one time he gets in a fit of rage and he throws coffee in somebody's face.
Nice.
Because he's upset. And he does that the whole movie. He just throws
coffee in people's face?
No, he just gets all pissed off and just starts screaming and yelling.
He's upset.
He lost his family.
Lost
his family. Why don't you fucking get with the program?
Okay, so he lost his family.
All of a sudden, you know how people feel?
I don't know how people feel. I have no idea how people feel. But if I lost my family, I'm not going to go around and throw coffee in people's face.
You might.
And be a fucking total asshole to everybody I meet.
You might.
I mean, everybody he meets, he's a total cocksucker. Even his college roommate, Don Cheadle, he's an asshole, too. And for some reason, Cheadle feels impelled to help this guy.
And does he?
Who knows? He sends him to Liv Tyler, right? Wow. Who's a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Right. So he goes for 10 sessions, and they talk for a while, and then he...
And then they fuck?
She asked him, well, let's talk about, you know, what happened. Yeah, is the session over? Yeah, I'm going to leave now. And he leaves. She's like, hey, I'm not going to be able to help you until you can tell me what happened, or tell somebody.
So then he tells...
Here's the big climax, the dramatic scene. He tells Don Cheadle. Doesn't pull it off at all. Doesn't pull it off. He sounds like the guy from Billy Madison with the whiny voice. He's got no acting ability whatsoever as far as drama is concerned.
What about Punch Drunk Love? No good?
He was great in that movie.
I like that movie. I'll give him props in that movie.
Okay.
Because he played like a robot. Yeah. I mean, how hard is that?
It was a robot. That's true. That's true.
How hard is that?
How hard is that? Hey, John's an actor. Have you seen some of his work?
Yes, I've seen the training videos.
Yeah. Right on.
That's awesome.
But then the other movie I saw, and the more I see this movie, the more I like this movie, Ocean's 11. And here's the thing. Ocean's 11 gets a 7.5, and this Rain Over Me gets 7.9. How the fuck does that happen?
Fucking movie snobs.
Wait, the original one or the remake?
The remake.
Okay.
So this is, for me, it's a great movie. I appreciate it more every time I see it. And what it reminds me of is not the story of Back to the Future, but the economy of a Back to the Future. There's no wasted scenes. There's no wasted lines. There's no shit that doesn't go anywhere. It's all economical. And the more I watch it, the more... The story unfolds in the way the director tells the story with a combination of flashbacks and current events.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just a great fucking movie.
It's fun. It's fun, too.
It's a fun movie.
It's a fun movie.
It's a great
movie.
Yeah.
Fun movie. How about Ocean's 13?
Was that with the one with Pacino? 13?
Yeah.
Pacino.
Al Pacino. Hello.
Was he in it? One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it.
Because of Al Pacino. Was completely implausible.
Oh, yeah, definitely
with
implausible.
The fucking drilling. I'm like,
not only one, but two of those things. They could get into Vegas. And,
I'm like, oh, turn this shit off.
Because 11 was plausible? 11 was plausible?
Yeah. More plausible than
more
that.
More plausible.
Well, it's interesting because in 11.
Hey, can you hurry up and get me a fucking deep channel driller?
Yeah, there's only like.
Send me another one.
Can you give me an EMP from the University of California, Berkeley? The only one of two in the world?
But it's portable.
Yeah, it's portable.
It just so happens to fit in my van. Yeah.
Fuck you.
I didn't like the Ocean's 12. I didn't like it all. But I liked the 13 because of Pacino. But yeah, there was only three of those goddamn things in the world, and they got two of them. And not only that, in Ocean's 11, they made mention of the security systems are so sensitive, they can tell the most minute seismic... So they make reference to that in 11, and then 13, they use these fucking hole drillers.
Yeah,
I don't know what to call these goddamn things.
It's going to feel like an earthquake, so we should make it like it is an earthquake. Let's pretend.
Right on. Also, Tom Cruise's new film, Lions for Lambs, didn't even crack the top three. John, did you hear that?
Wow.
And Tom is not happy, says a source.
Cruise's
first release
freak.
Since Mission Impossible
Allegedly.
3 is also the first film to come from Cruise and Paula Wagner's United Artists studio. Tom wanted to really hit a home run with his first film, says another source. It was more about how the industry was going to view him than the movie public that Tom was worried about.
Jeff Goldblum wants to chime in. Here's his review of the movie.
That is one big pile of shit.
I haven't seen it, but I heard it's a lot of talking.
My parents saw it, a lot of talking, three separate stories. Said it was good, though.
They liked it.
They liked it. They like some decent movies.
Yeah, it's for old people, then.
It's a lot of talking. The actions, the action sequences you see in the trailers, no. There's like, that's the whole, in the whole movie. That's all the action there is. So
that's it. And the rest is talk.
Be forewarned, correct.
It's Are you
talk.
Pissed at Phil this week? You don't want to...
No, I'm not going to get the door. I'm not ready for Phil yet. Actress Lindsay Lohan checked in and out of jail on Thursday. Did you hear this? She only spent 84 minutes behind bars.
Wow.
Do you know for what? Not only drunken driving, but cocaine possession conviction.
Jeez.
84 fucking minutes. If we were drunk driving and had cocaine, how long would we be in the fucking jail?
As long as somebody could say,
tetanus. Fucking A, man.
At least three to five.
Yeah.
Man.
Others, at the same time, get mandatory 10 plus years.
Jeez.
The toughest thing we could say to somebody fucking us in the ass in a jail cell would be, for how long?
She gets 84 minutes. 84. Oh, speaking of Ocean's 11, Scott Kahn was in that movie.
Scott Kahn.
Kahn is also in Celebrity News. He apologized for using a gay slur. Actor Scott Kahn has apologized for using the homophobic slur towards a photographer. The Into the Blue star son of screen legend James Kahn called a paparazzi who got too close for his liking a faggot. He tells website TMZ, I am sorry for using such a derogatory word. I was being harassed by the paparazzi, and unfortunately, the word slipped out. I don't ever condone the use of that word, and I deeply apologize to anyone whom I may have offended.
It's too many apologies.
You can't even call somebody a faggot anymore.
You can't do it. You can't walk across the street without apologizing.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Well, and the reason why is the Grey's Anatomy star.
Silly faggot. Dicks are for chicks.
Isaiah Washington was publicly denounced for using the word fag in an onset spat with a co-star, and he eventually got dismissed from the show for calling somebody a fag.
Jeez.
Can't call anybody a faggot anymore.
Well, I guess you can, but I mean, if you're employed by somebody, it's their company.
Right.
They make the rules, right?
They do make the rules. That's right. But a Lindsay Lohan, she can DUI and have cocaine.
Right.
And serve 84 minutes and can still continue
cocaine to
work. Right?
Chicho.
But the great Scott Kahn, who I enjoyed in Ocean's 11, can't say faggot.
Scott Kahn.
To the paparazzi. And if you,
who's Scott Kahn?
But let's talk about who's Scott Kahn. He was the guy who was, what's Ben Affleck's brother name? Casey?
Casey Affleck
and Scott Kahn were in Ocean's.
Okay. They're fighting through the whole thing.
But talk about the paparazzi. If you've ever seen clips of these guys are the biggest fucking assholes on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
So if he called them an asshole, that would be okay?
Yeah.
Or if he said God thinks you're a faggot, that would be okay?
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
Right on. But,
it's okay for
since
God
he called
to
him
think
a
you're a faggot, but you can't personally think that.
That's a nice loophole, though. I like that.
Yeah, God hates fags.
Yeah. But as far as professions...
Did you see Brittany ran over that guy's foot?
And I really think that she should run over more of these guys.
Yeah.
These guys are such intrusive, evasive assholes. It's unbelievable to me.
I don't know why people don't throw them the fuck out of their stores. They'll just run right up and flock a store. She'll go into a Walgreens to buy something, and there'll be 50 paparazzi running in there, harassing other customers. I would fucking cold cock
one
of those
cocksuckers. These fucking guys are arrogant, too.
I'd throw an elbow right in their fucking face.
There's a clip of Lindsay Lohan's coming out of rehab, and one of these guys goes up and kicks her, you know, trying to incite something so they can get more money for... I mean, the magazines that are paying for these photographs really need to reevaluate what the fuck they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Because these guys are the scum of the earth,
scum.
If you ask me. Scum of the
scum
fucking earth.
Scum fucking bags.
One last celebrity story, John. I don't know if you guys have heard this. The great Matt Damon beats out Dempsey, Reynolds, and Pitt.
I saw that.
And is now the sexiest man alive.
Does he have the biggest fucking head
Forehead,
ever?
Yes. He has one of the biggest foreheads.
No, I mean his whole head.
His whole head?
It's bigger than his whole goddamn body.
I'll have to check that out.
It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Wipe it down! This is a joke to me. It's a joke. I compare it to when Jordan was in the league. Every year Jordan played in the NBA, he should have got MVP. But they gave it to somebody else. He only got three of them. But clearly he was the MVP. And giving it to Matt Damon when there's like a Brad Pitt and a Clooney are still alive is a joke to me, John. It's a joke. I can think of 10 people to give it to before Matt
Damon.
That's
because Matt Damon's making way more money than those other jamokes.
Is that
movies.
Why? Because then he makes them sexier? The more money, the more sexier?
Every movie he makes turns into fucking gold.
Well.
Look at those Bourne Identity movies with the shaky camera, and they're made on like $4.
Yeah.
Which you hate. Oh.
I only didn't like the third one because of the camera.
I didn't like the third one up until after 20 minutes into the movie. After 20 minutes, it got really good. But that first 20, when he's talking to that chick and the over-the-shoulder shit and shaking back and forth, I was getting a little sick.
Yeah.
Hey, man, this Tuesday, I think it's this Tuesday, Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard comes out on DVD.
Right on. I'm getting that, man.
Gotta get that.
Definitely getting that.
No doubt.
All right, let's turn to science news. Science news. Now, John, let me ask you this, Dan. Have you ever seen a UFO or a UAFO?
What's a UAFO?
An unidentified appears to be flying object.
Yes.
You ever seen one?
No, I've seen neither of those.
You can't make the assumption it is flying, so you say it appears to be
flying. Gotcha. Now, right. Last week I told a story on the podcast about when I saw a UFO.
Did you really?
Or UAFO, yeah, an unidentified, appeared to be flying object.
Unidentified anal flying object.
Which John met with much criticism. And that's okay. There were two other people there. We all agreed that we all saw an unidentified, appeared to be flying object. But get this. A group of former pilots, John. Travolta's a pilot, I guess.
Yeah.
Have recounted seeing strange phenomena in the sky and has demanded the U.S. government reopen an investigation into UFOs.
Yeah, I'm sure.
How about
I'm sure they'll get right on that.
Several pilots offer dramatic accounts of witnessing UFOs, including a transparent flying disc and a triangular claft with mysterious markings. They insisted their questions needed to be taken seriously.
I know, and they believe in God, too, I'm sure.
We want the U.S. government to stop perpetrating the myth that all UFOs can be explained away in a down-to-earth conventional terms.
How about perpetrating the myth that Jesus walked on water?
Well, we're not going to throw away money on that. And I disagree with actually having the government spend money on investigating UFOs. I think that's a waste of money.
I think so, too.
So I disagree with that. All I'm saying is pilots, John. Pilots, also. And the most important question.
But I don't want my tax dollars paying for a fucking plastic nativity scene, either.
Right. Right on. And we don't want them paying for UFO investigations.
Or ditchweed.
Somebody else can do that.
Or ditchweed. Unless, of course, they do a better job than landscapers.
In other science news, a quarter of all men, a quarter, that would be one in four, if my math is correct, are too ashamed to strip in front of their partners. So before we get into the detail, are you too ashamed to strip in front of your partner?
No, like you mean like marriage partner or just any...
Any sexual partner?
No, if I already had sex with them, then not at all.
Okay, so your boyfriends don't care?
No, they're totally cool with it.
Cool.
My huge ass, though, they don't like seeing that too much. Yeah. Those guys are weird.
Yeah.
John?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You'll take it all off?
No.
Oh, you won't?
I don't look good naked.
Okay, so
I have a nice size schwanz.
You're one of the...
And I'm not worried about that at all, so anything below the waist comes off without a problem.
But T-shirt stays on.
Yeah, T-shirt stays on. It doesn't look too good on top. I'm very white and flabby. I look like, if I took my shirt off, I look dead and bloated.
All right.
It's not very becoming.
Well, I not only have no problem undressing in front of my wife, but I can
other
just undress
people's
right
wives.
Now. Yeah. Other people's wives. I can undress
you
right now.
Shut up, man.
I can walk outside.
The other day you went to change into pants to do the goddamn movie we're doing. You're like, don't look. Don't look. Don't look at me. I'm hideous.
That's because I was...
you fucking liar.
What do they call it when you don't
trickster.
Wear undies?
You just said you have no problem.
I was going commando.
Oh, commando.
Okay. I didn't. Here's what I was afraid of. We were alone. All right. So that's way too gay.
Yeah.
And who knows how you're going to react to seeing my striking physique?
Get out of here.
I am.
I'm going to trade in the Mons Venus for your schwanz.
Physical presence,
ooh,
John.
Look at that ass. I got to have that man ass. Is it hairy?
And all my years of being straight.
Yeah.
Nothing. No.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Ooh, I'm going to turn gay now after seeing this bald bastard naked.
You know, it happens.
That's one big pile of shit.
I know. I've heard that. It could happen. Oh, I want that. That's an ass I want.
Also in science news,
Maybe in prison.
It's a century late, but Einstein's still right on time. So what happened is in 1905, wrote a Relativity of Time, Einstein did, famously theorizing that time speeds up or slows down according to how fast an object is moving in relation to another object. So according to the hypothesis, a clock which is in motion ticks more slowly than identical clock which is at rest, a phenomenon that Einstein called time dilation, and they've just proven that in a study to be published today, John. The most accurate experiment yet in the time dilation has proven the great German physicist to be bang on target. So Einstein, right on. Nice. Right on.
So
what
a
else?
Clock appears to tick more slowly
than
a clock that's at rest.
No. A clock, is it more slowly?
Yes. Do you even understand this stupid
which is
ass?
In motion ticks more slowly than an identical
clock
which is at rest.
So if I whip a clock at your head from here,
it'll tick more slowly.
It's going to tick more slowly.
And the quicker the quicker the speed to the speed of light, the more it slows down. Time dilation.
So when we fly from one place to another in an airplane,
we're aging more slowly.
Correct. Are we?
Correct.
But not enough to be measured.
Oh, that's what I wanted to know. Yeah. Can you measure it?
You can't measure that, but you can measure this with atomic clocks.
Superluminal flight?
I guess so.
Speed of light?
Other science news. Get this. A governor in Georgia held a public prayer vigil and asked God for rain to relieve the state's drought. This is at least the third time. The Georgia governor. See, I did it. That's dyslexic right there.
Oh, man.
Has tried it. Governor's quotes. Georgians haven't conserved water enough, so the drought is God's attempt to get their attention.
Jeez.
We come here very reverently and respectfully to pray up a storm. God, we need you. We need rain. God can make it rain tomorrow, or he can make it rain next week or next month. The minister's quotes, "Oh God, let it rain on this land of Georgia. We are entrepreneurs for you, dear God." And here are the results, John. The vigil ended with the sun shining through what had been a somewhat cloudy morning. However, Wednesday's forecast calls for 60% chance of showers.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. That would piss me off if my governor was praying to God for rain.
Church and state. I love it. I love it.
But you know what? It worked the last time. So,
yeah, but what about when it doesn't work?
Well, it's just coincidence.
Blame that on
you know?
Satan.
It's going to rain.
Yeah.
It's not going to rain.
Yeah, I'm the one that fucked that up for them.
Oh, Satan's here.
Yeah, whenever they pray, and you know, God and I like to take turns and mix it up. And every once in a while, I'll stop the rain from coming. I'll bring out the sun.
Right on.
Yeah.
Hey, have you met Dan?
The sun will come.
Are you familiar with Dan?
Tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah, I know Dan.
How do you know Dan? Have you tried to tempt him?
He's a God believer. Yeah, oh yeah. I try to tempt everybody.
Well, how do you try to tempt?
I'm a deceiver.
How do you tempt Dan specifically? What do you do?
You know, I just, in his dreams, I tell him to glad hand priests and tell him he'll go to heaven.
And it works. It works.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, your faith is not strong enough then.
Preacher glad-handing.
Right on.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. That's okay, sonny boy.
Hey, how was your... we talked to you before Halloween.
Yeah.
How did Halloween go for you?
Halloween is great. The thing about it is in Halloween, people tend to celebrate me a lot more. So there's not a whole lot of temptation. I find the holidays like Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's, where people are more lonely.
Lonely?
Yeah.
So they're easier. They're more vulnerable.
Yeah. I'm a little more effective that way.
Right on.
Yeah.
So Christmas time is your good time of year then?
Yeah. I tell them, have another drink, you know, make sure you...
Especially at, like, office
drive
Christmas parties.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'll hook up a secretary with a married man, and she'll get all liquored up, and then God and I will stand on opposite shoulders, and I'll say, fuck her.
And what does God say?
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Intercourse is illegal. Stop that.
It's illegal.
I don't know. He comes up with some crap.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not. I don't know what that crap means. What's with the weird grammar, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck her. That's what I say.
Right on.
Get down on your knees. Lick that thing, would you? Take her back to your stabbing cabin. You know, shit like that.
Right. So you
it's all for fun.
So you got a big couple of holidays coming up.
Yeah,
then. You're going to be busy tempting.
I'm
then.
Looking forward to hearing Alfie on your show. Is
oh,
he
yeah.
coming back?
I'm sure he Alfie will. Alfie the Elf from the North Pole.
Yeah,
Dave.
And I think
he visits the show as well.
God is taking a break for some reason. I haven't heard him on the show.
Maybe when we're back in your home studio,
yeah.
he'll maybe he doesn't
I think
like.
He feels a little more comfortable there, as he was telling me.
Yeah. Well, you think he would be comfortable anywhere, you know?
Yeah,
or if he wasn't. Yeah. He would make it comfortable for himself.
Well, he hasn't been around with his Escalade lately.
Oh, he's shunning you too?
Yeah.
You guys on the outs?
No. Every once in a while, he likes to take a sabbatical.
Well,
he's
maybe resting for the big holiday season coming up.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. It's his son's birthday.
Right. You oh, know, yeah. That's
might be throwing a surprise party.
That's a lot of planning.
2,000 and some years old, I think.
Surprise a God?
What is he going to be?
Jesus?
208 or 207?
Can you surprise Jesus? I mean, can you pull that off?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Why not? You just put your hands over his eyes. He's easy to trick, that little bastard.
Where was the party last year?
Actually, at HB's.
HB's,
yeah.
Right on.
Heavenly Bodies.
You guys VIPs over there?
Well, we taped Jesus to a chair, and then we had some chicks draw all over him with markers. It was really fun.
Did you run into Mr. Schmuel?
Yeah, I've seen Mr. Schmuel there.
Yeah, right on.
Old Banjo Man's bunghole hasn't talked lately, though.
No.
I don't know what's up with that.
Well, that's
but anyways,
cool, man.
I got to go. I just want to stop in and poke in and say hello.
Hey, well, thanks for clearing that up for us, because... You know, we didn't know what to think about the governor of Georgia.
That's right.
Right on.
Yeah, we only just... Okay.
See you tonight, Satan.
You know it, buddy. Kent, stop playing with yourself, Kent. That was me, too.
That was you? I thought that was God.
I'm the deceiver, man.
Oh, right on.
Look me up on Wikipedia.
All right.
It's all about deceit. That's what the devil does. We trick you.
Tempt and deceit.
Tempt and deceit. Well, the whole trick is to convince you that with temptation, you're still doing a lot of good. That's the trick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yes.
Right.
I got to go then.
All right, man.
All right, bye.
Later.
Wow.
All right, man.
My ass hurts for some reason.
It should.
God damn it.
Get another case of tetanus.
Yeah.
Tetanus.
All right. Do we want to cover any? Oh, I got some W clips.
Do you?
The W. Two W clips.
All right.
Let's play W-isms. Now, see if you can. I think I compiled four isms here together. So there's four of them. Arnold's going to start the first clip.
Arnold.
But see if you can tell me. The stupidity of a George W.
W-isms. Did you say isms?
Ism. W/ism. W/ism. ISM.
What are you saying?
Isms.
W-isms?
W/isms. Not right, slash, I'm
look,
sorry.
Let me look here. It's
W-dash.
W-dash.
Isms.
Isms. I don't have any. I don't have no W disms.
W. There's no W. D U B Y A. Is there any W?
I have W legacy.
W legacy. All right, but
is
no W ism.
I don't know. Let me check your. Did you bring me an iPod with it on there?
I did. I did bring you an iPod.
Can we go to the legacy first? Or no?
Yeah, let's do the legacy first. So here's the W again, talking about his legacy. The question is. Tell us your greatest hits and your greatest errors, and let's listen how the chimp responds.
What do you think, looking back?
Oh.
Whoop.
What do you think, looking back, your greatest hit was, where you really hit one out of the park, and what do you think your greatest error was?
Well, I would rather go, disappointments rather than errors. The biggest disappointment is not getting a Social Security package done. Social Security reform. Because that truly is a big deficit issue. I'm sorry it didn't happen. I laid out a plan to make it happen. To enable it to happen. People see I was the first president to address it as specifically as I did. I wish Congress weren't so risk adverse on the issue. Success, there's been a lot. Tax cutting, No Child Left Behind, Medicare reform. I would say the advance of liberty. Working hard to secure the homeland from attack. Putting in place, tools necessary to protect us. And at the same time, be strong in the advancement of liberty is a great alternative to an ideology of hate. And it's going to be hard, by the way, it's going to take a while for history to analyze my administration. So I'm not all that worried about the short-term scorecard. And, I read 3 books on Washington last year. My attitude is if they're still writing about number one, the 43rd guy doesn't need to worry about it. That's right.
God.
Jeez, man.
Is that goddamn disturbing? Social Security, that's the big deficit, John. Not at the Iraq war.
No.
Not $3 trillion on Iraq. No. That's not the big deficit.
No, it's...
and it's not an error, John. It's a disappointment.
It's a disappointment. It's a disappointment. It's disappointing that over 3,000 soldiers have died.
Yeah.
But no, that's his success. His advancement of liberty, John. One of his successes.
Defending the homeland.
Right.
In Iraq.
Tax cuts for the rich, No Child Left Behind, which the teachers fucking hate.
Yeah.
And the advancement of liberty.
A moment of silence. Liberty.
These are successes because he's got to. We gave the tools, John. Got the tools to advance liberty. How is liberty being advanced? Pakistan is a goddamn joke.
And we're still tight with people that beat their wives with a toothpick that's about a foot long. And
right.
They talk about it on TV about the right way to beat your wife.
Of course, he's talking about Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And then, again, history is going to analyze the W. He's not worried about that. Because, look, they're still writing books about George Washington. There's a big goddamn difference between one of the founding fucking fathers and this dumbass chimp, number 43, John. And he doesn't get that.
They're still right about number one.
Idiot.
Well, check this out. Advancing liberty in the Middle East, right? But we're tight. He's tight buddies with Prince of Saud, right?
Prince of Saud.
A court in the ultra-conservative kingdom of Saudi Arabia is punishing a female victim of gang rape with 200 lashes and 6 months in jail.
Wow. Okay,
so she gets 200 lashes because she was gang raped.
That's unbelievable.
And the reason why they're giving her the 200 lashes originally was only 90, but she was in a car of an unrelated male at the time of the rape.
Well, come on, that was worth another 110.
Well, they put in another 110 because her a court source told the English language Arab News that the judges had decided to punish the woman further for attempt to aggravate and influence the jury through the media. So her attorney went to the media and her to plead their case in the. Obviously, it's always in the media that the case is tried. And the judge said, you know what? We're going to give you 110 more lashes. We're going to whip you 200 fucking times for being gang raped by 6 men.
I just don't understand that at all. And to me, that culture is what is the thought there that she was asking for it? That she's responsible for these men losing their fucking minds and gang raping her? Is that the thought? Is that what the culture is built upon? Is that men can't fucking control themselves, and so the women dress like that? They deserve
it's fucked
to
up.
Be gang raped and punished? Oh, that's great.
And apparently the men, they only get between 1 to 5 years in jail for the rape, as well as ordering lashes for the victim. A member of last year, the court sentenced six Saudi men to between 1 and 5 years. But normally they could get the death sentence for that. And what kind of fucking human rights, what kind of moral compass do these fucktards have? That's what I want to know.
I don't know, man.
And that's exactly, tie this to the W, and what do you got? Stupid ass.
Tie anything to the W, you get failure, John. Failure.
Type in failure on Google. You'll find George W. Bush right at the top.
John, I prefer not to call it failure.
Disappointment.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard this.
Your dad's disappointed because Jeb didn't make it. His career's over.
I don't know if you heard this, but attorney generals, most of them, upon stepping down, move into the private sector. Some take on faculty positions at respected law schools. And then there's Alberto Gonzalez, arguably the worst attorney general in U.S. history. Since resigning in disgrace, Gonzalez has retained a high-powered D.C. criminal defense lawyer to represent him, given that the U.S. Inspector General may recommend criminal charges against Gonzalez. Whoa. It was probably a good move. It's reached the point that Gonzalez's friends have had to create a legal defense fund for the embattled former AG.
I got the Bushisms clip up. You want that?
But one thing about this, don't waste money, don't waste time going after Gonzo, because the W will just pardon this fucking prick.
Yeah.
Because
I got to tell you.
You know Gonzo's got something on the W and Cheney. So why even get a lawyer? Just blow a phone call into them and say, hey, get off my fucking back or I'm going to blow the whistle on you cocksuckers.
One of our listeners, Parabali, might have something there with Kucinich.
Kucinich.
That guy's got some fucking balls.
Balls,
going,
John,
after the Cheney.
And he's got a flilf.
Yeah, and he's got a flilf. First lady, you'd like
a
to flilf. Fuck, right?
All right, so now the W-isms. There's four of them, I believe. See if you can
pick them out.
Pick them out.
Of what he's the mumbo jumbo.
Arnold's going to start out the first one.
All right.
As soon as you cue it up.
I'm playing it.
Nothing's happening.
Nothing's happening. What the fuck is going on? What did you do?
I didn't do anything. Of course, I never did test it. I didn't test it. It could be part of the problem.
Didn't test it.
All right.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know if you heard this. The British leave Basra. They left Basra.
Basra.
Guess what happened?
What happened?
Violence drops by 90%.
Unbelievable.
Now that the British military has all but left southern Iraq, the International Herald Tribune is reporting that violence has fallen 90%. In Iraq's second largest city. Ain't that something?
Ain't that something?
Ain't that something there, John?
I remember I was in the middle of a briefing. The president, I got the phone. I said, it's the president on the phone.
All I can tell you is when the governor calls, I answer his phone.
I spoke to President Musharraf right before I came over here to visit with President Sarkozy. And my message was, that we believe strongly that in elections and that you ought to have elections soon, and you need to take off your uniform.
What?
My message was very, very plain, very easy to understand, and that is the United States wants you to have the elections as scheduled and take your uniform off.
I do want to remind you that he has declared that he'll take off his uniform. We'll be sending a person on the ground there pretty soon to help implement the malaria initiative. And that initiative will mean spreading nets and insecticides throughout the country so that we can see a reduction in death of young children, that a death that we can cure.
I remember I was in the middle of a briefing.
Did you get them all?
I think so.
The first one, he said he would answer, if the governor calls, he would answer his phone, the governor's phone.
Oh, the governor's phone.
then two of them where he said that the guy needs to take off his uniform.
Yeah, it's kind of homoerotic.
That is homoerotic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the last one is that they can cure death.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you knew about that, but the W can cure death.
That's out of sight.
Stupid
that's
ass.
Success is not disappointments, that one.
Chimp files.
Here's what I don't understand. If this guy, let's say he was a CEO of a company.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
And part of his job was public speaking. If we just played four clips there, but take the whole history of the W. This guy still wouldn't be goddamn employed.
There's no rules.
He can't have an original thought. He can't say a complete sentence.
Right.
He fucks sentences up. He talks like a goddamn hick. And the guy's the president, John.
I think for eight years.
If he was a CEO, he wouldn't have lasted one.
Well, he has been a CEO, hasn't he?
He drove companies into the ground.
Yeah. Arbusto.
Co-owner of the Rangers, too, right?
Yeah.
And traded Sammy Sosa. Dumbass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's.
How was he supposed to know that Sosa was going to juke up on the steroids?
This is recycled stuff.
Oh, that reminds me, Barry Bonds indicted.
Yeah.
Indicted.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I want them to take all the drugs they can get their hands on and fucking just blow up. Like, you ever see those old, like, Bugs Bunny cartoons where he plays against these muscle guys and he's one ball player and he's playing all the positions in the field and the batter comes up and his head is like a little pea.
And he uses a tree as a bat.
A tree as a bat. That's what I want to see ball players.
I think they should start. Like. I think you're right on. I think they should start letting these athletes do whatever the fuck they want to their bodies. First of all, it's going to be the greatest testing for science, right?
Yeah.
Because these idiots will do whatever they can to win. Because it's in cycling, it's in football, it's in baseball. Let these motherfuckers take whatever they want. The entertainment value alone is going to go through the roof.
But what about them being heroes and role models for our children?
Well, there still might be some that don't do that shit.
Right.
But would they be able to compete? I don't know.
No, I think they should do it and be tested for it so that they know. Which one's got 500 home runs a year?
Right.
And who wasn't on it and got 500 home runs a year?
They
could have a Hall of Fame for the drug addicts.
Right.
And a Hall of Fame for the clean guys.
I like that. We should propose that. Who do we talk to? Who do we send that idea to?
I don't know. Cooperstown?
Well, it would be for all athletics.
Right, right. All athletics.
Because Marion Jones got her gold medal stripped.
Yeah.
Because she was doping.
Yeah.
Miriam Jones.
Jones, yeah.
So they're all doing it.
The bicyclist guy, too. Just
Floyd Landis.
Yeah, that's his name. That's right.
You got to think Lance Armstrong was, too. Especially after
just
he starts
didn't get caught. He
hooking up
out
with
a
Ashley
strain.
Olsen. Dumbass.
Figured out a strain that wouldn't show up.
Right on.
And he's not giving it to anybody.
All right, hold on. Let me get the door.
All right.
Be right back. Fucking guy.
What?
Just give him a goddamn key. Hey, man, what's
happening? Come on back, man. Oh, man, he must be pissed because it's getting cold out there.
Yeah, we left him out there for a while. Sit down and shut the fuck up. I got one story left.
All right.
I don't know if you guys heard this. CIA agent allegedly to have met Bin Laden in July. Did you hear that?
No.
This is 2 months before September.
Allowance?
2 months before September 11th, Osama bin Laden flew to Dubai. For 10 days for treatment
Dubai.
At an American hospital.
Wow.
Where he was visited by a local CIA agent, according to the French newspaper Le Figaro. The disclosures are known to come from French intelligence, which is keen to reveal the ambiguous role of the CIA and to restrain Washington from extending the war to Iraq and elsewhere. So the Frenchies don't want us to go into Iran, so they're starting to come forward and say, hey, these fuckers met with bin Laden 2 months before September 11th.
Yeah.
You're not going to hear that from the W. He's not going to give you that information.
Nobody wants us going to Iran. There's officers that are ripping on Cheney right now, saying, you know, hey, we don't want you going in there. It says Pentagon has launched a preventative strike against a target that military chiefs presumably regard as one of the most active current threats to U.S. and world security, namely the office of the Vice President of the United States, thrusting back hard against Vice President Dick Cheney's warmongering. The head of U.S. forces in the Middle East declared that an attack on Iran is not in the offing, and more or less urged the Vice President and his political allies to shut up. And basically that came from Admiral William Fallon. That's the guy that said Petraeus is a big pussy.
Did he get in trouble for that?
No.
Good. Well, this CIA chief was seen
on his way to see
bin Laden, and later, it is alleged, boasting to friends about his contact. He was recalled to Washington soon afterwards. Intelligence
sources now he's dead.
Say that another CIA agent was also present and that bin Laden was also visited by Prince Turki al-Faisal, then head of Saudi intelligence, who had long links with the Taliban and bin Laden. Soon afterwards, Turki resigned.
Yeah, that's how they know he's on dialysis.
And more recently,
they gave him the machine.
Yeah, he has publicly attacked him in an open letter. You are a rotten seed, like the son of Noah. There you have it.
Wow.
All right, I'm ready to turn it over to Phil.
Are you ready, Phil?
Whenever he's ready.
He got his cans on? Is he ready?
Let me just, I failed to edit my news before I showed up. Just give me a couple of moments if you'd like to discuss something else on your mind while I do a quick read through. I didn't have time to properly prepare for today's news.
What are you doing all week?
I had a hot date tonight, John.
This is your only job.
Yes, but I do have a social life.
You don't even get paid.
Right on.
How do you afford the
fur coats? All right, I'm
ready.
Whenever you're ready.
All right.
Now, with your award-winning TT
Thank you, John.
News. Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Our first story tonight!
Don't interrupt my thing, man. What are you doing?
I'm going to start out the newscast with a riddle, John. A riddle. Bullet enters and leaves man's body, but only leaves one hole. How is this possible?
Enters and leaves the same hole.
Last Wednesday, downtown Truman was taken over by activities surrounding the shooting of William Lytle, 22. Shortly before 4 p.m., the 60-year-old Truman juvenile, an identified male, got into a verbal confrontation. It was reported the juvenile then went into his residence and got a 30-30 lever action rifle. According to reports, Little approached the juvenile and asked him what he was doing with the gun and was then shot in the groin.
Oh.
The bullet exited through Little's buttocks.
He was transported
to St. Bernard's Medical Center, where he was immediately operated on to stop bleeding and to repair damage to his tetanus. Next story, John.
Oh, my God.
Tetanus. Financial documents show Westboro Baptist Church of God Hates Fags fame has $1 million in assets, or about $10 million less than Fred Phelps needs to satisfy the lawsuit he just lost.
Uh-oh.
Oops. Next story, John.
Maybe he can pray to God for the rest.
Government inspectors come down hard on penis pasta. The largest chain of sex stores in Norway has received notification from government inspectors that some of the food products are not being properly labeled for nutritional facts. Penis pasta, candy cuffs, and chocolate body paint were all singled out for violation of food labeling regulations and for not containing a list of ingredients. One sexual advisor in the store, Kjersten Antonesen, told reporters, Mrs. Hoegas, we were a bit surprised to find the food safely authority on inspection. The food is not really our core product. And added that the matter would be rectified. Next story, John. U.S. government to spend $1.6 trillion on universal health care. Free college and education for all. Just kidding, it's for the Iraq war, and it's already gone. Next story, John. Out of their fucking mind, Russian cult members barricade in cave to blow themselves up before the end of the world. At least 30 members of a Russian doomsday cult have barricaded themselves in a remote cave to await the end of the world and the second coming of Christ. And they are threatening to commit suicide if police intervene.
Let them.
The cult members, who include 29 adults and 4 children, are hidden inside a snow-covered hillside in the Penza region of central Russia. A newspaper said the leader of the cult, Petro Kuzteskosko, had been detained by police. Police sent Kuzteskosko to the cave to persuade his followers to come out without success, said the newspaper. Next story, John.
It's a disappointment.
A Swiss welfare group is recruiting volunteers to have sex with disabled people. A Basel-based welfare group for disability and sexuality. What? A group for disability and sexuality already arranges erotic massages for people with disabilities. But it is now providing full sexual intercourse and is also signing up gay volunteers to have sex with homosexually disabled people. This turns out to be great news for our commander-in-chief, who is both mentally disabled and a homo. Next story, John. Image of Jesus and Mary seen in a pancake.
Oh, shit.
Mrs. Butterworth unavailable for comment. He has been seen on a grilled cheese sandwich in windows and in clouds, and now Jesus has been seen on a pancake. Marilyn Smith was making a pancake a couple of weeks ago, and she was sprinkling it with chocolate powder. The woman noticed two figures in the grill marks. To her and her daughter, they appeared to be Jesus and Mary. So after holding on to it for days, they decided to put it up for auction on eBay.
Of course.
The starting bid was $35. When the auction ended just before midnight last night, the winning bid was $338.
Wow. Dude, that's the way we can make some dough, man.
Right on, John. We need to start doing that.
Look, this iron burn in my T-shirt.
Looks like
Jesus.
Jesus.
The eyes are following me when you move around the room.
I'm sorry, Phil. I never interrupt your news, but I couldn't help there. John usually does, but I just...
Oh, yeah.
That's all right, Scott. I don't mind when you interrupt. It's very polite, as always.
Phil are going to spoon later.
Next story, John. Was erratic driving caused by excessive alcohol consumption? Or was the driver receiving oral sex? You be the judge. A 20-year-old Laurel Hill man was pulled over for erratic driving, ended up being charged with resisting an officer without the violence. I'm sorry. Resisting an officer with and without violence in addition to the charge of DUI refusal. Adam Phillips was traveling north on State Road 85 in Oklahoma County. A deputy noticed the SUV was crossing back and forth. When the deputy approached him, Phillips, who was not wearing his seatbelt, told him, "I don't have time for this shit," according to the offense report. That's why the deputy noticed that Phillips' pants were unzipped and unbuttoned. Phillips fastened them, then stuck his hand down the front of his pants. The report noted the deputy was concerned that the man might have been retrieving a weapon, so he frisked him. When asked why his pants were unzipped, Phillips referred to a sexual act that had been taking place and said that he was heading home for more. The female in the car, next page, told the deputy that she didn't know why Phillips' pants were undone, and she denied any sexual contact taking place in the car. Phillips was taken to jail, where he refused to listen to anything, claiming he had learning disabilities. Next story, John.
You sure that wasn't the W they pulled over?
No, okay. It was Phillips. Bars and nightclubs. Get this. Bars and nightclubs linked to more drinking.
Ha!
In other news, 2 + 2 is still 4. Next story, John. War on Christmas continues to rage on. Santa currently resting at an undisclosed location waiting for reinforcements. An early skirmish in this year's War on Christmas ended on Tuesday when the nationwide home improvement chain Lowe's apologized for referring to Christmas trees in its holiday catalog as family trees.
Oh,
that was
damn.
A complete error, Maureen Rich, the spokesman said, which serves more than 13 million customers. Told me, right now we're extremely disappointed in this breakdown in our creative process. We apologize for customers today for any confusion our holiday catalog created. Next story, John. This is a follow-up story. You may have heard of Robert Stewart, 51. He has been convicted.
Professor Stewart.
Of simulating sex with his bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
He has been convicted. This is a follow-up. You may remember he was reported by cleaners at a hostel who unlocked his door and found him engaged in a sex act with his bicycle. This reporter asked, why would they Would they have done the same to a woman with a sex toy? This is not the first legal case involving someone simulating sex with an inanimate object. In 1997, Robert Watt, 38, was fined 100 lew for trying to have sex with a shoe in Edinburgh. In 2002, the same man was arrested for simulating sex with a traffic cone.
Oh, the shoe has a lot of soul.
Earlier this month, sentence was deferred on teenager Stephen Marshall from Gashelslells, who admitted simulating sex on a pavement while drunk.
Oh, ouch. Scott's done that before. Simulated sex on a stage.
That was on a stage, yeah. John. It was not part of a performance.
Not a pavement.
Right. I could have been arrested. And I would now be on the criminal, on the sex offenders list.
Right.
Next story, John. Dumbass checks his phone signal while standing on train tracks. He can't hear you now. Next story, John. I try to stay away from celebrity news, but I couldn't resist this story. Just call me Sparta Kiss. Spartacus film legend Kirk Douglas looks startled as he receives a kiss on the lips from John Travolta.
Ah, sick.
Travolta, 53, planted the smacker on the stage after 91-year-old Douglas presented him with a Lifetime Achievement Award. This is the last story as well, John. The smooch was watched by Travolta's wife, Kelly Preston, who was in the audience at the time. Despite his open-eyed amazement, Kirk, who played Spartacus in the 1960 epic, soon recovered and posed for smiling snaps with his movie pal. It wasn't the first time Travolta had shown his affection for a male chum. Earlier this year, he was snap kissing a cropped-haired friend as he boarded his private jet, although that photograph captures tongue on tongue.
Oh,
and that's the news, John.
Oh, man.
Thank you, John.
All right. Thanks for coming, Phil.
All right, then.
Take care.
Yeah, thanks me for introducing the guy sitting in the chair.
That's Cousin Dan. None of your business.
Yeah, a little too late.
Shut up.
Fuck ass.
I get so mad when he leaves.
What did Kirk Douglas say afterwards, you think?
I don't know.
It's fucking homo. Just kiss me on the lips.
Yeah. Maybe they tased him.
Kelly Preston, not surprised.
All right, that's all the time we have this week for
episode 111, John, with our special guest, Cousin Dan.
Cousin Dan, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks for having me here.
How was the experience?
It was awesome,
Cousin
man.
Dan.
It was awesome. Really good.
You going to go into therapy?
No, I'm going to go have a dream with Satan.
All right. That's
a little bit later.
Go to the Beacon.
You could talk to him about hooking you up with Cindy Crawford's corpse.
Can't wait.
Right.
Yeah.
See if that works out.
Can't wait.
All right. Thanks again. This is John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we'll see you next week.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.